Door. Bumper. Clear.
Yo, what's up, everybody? You're listening to Door Bumper Clear, presented by Offerpad. I'm Freddie Kraft, and we have a special guest in studio today after Kansas. Haley Deegan's in the house. We'll learn more about her career, talk about Kurt Busch in 2311 winning at Kansas, flat left rear tires on Sunday, and the Texas All-Star Race format. That's an hour in itself. Let's get started.
Standing the best in the booth, stumbling the Monday to tell you the truth, giving the opinions and breaking the rules. Get called to the holler to bring it to you. Casey, you pretty, Freddie, you fat, TJ, you suck, Brandon so bad. Jason is pacing, kind of play in this race, and if someone don't crash, and he's gonna go mad. Looking for Freddie, he's killing the bottle. Casey is making messes like a toddler. Tweet something stupid, then don't even bother. Brett's gonna block you like TJ is a spotter. See them online, throw FF in the chat. Tell Rick where to stay off the track. All of the podcasts are living in fear. This isn't the download, it's Door Bumper Clear. Nah, don't get it twisted, baby. This isn't the download, nah. This is Door Bumper Clear.
Clear, 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 clear. There you go, I like it.
Hey, everybody, I'm TJ Majors, spotter of the six-cup car and the one truck this weekend. And very excited to introduce our guests for today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We have Haley Deegan on here. And definitely brings the...
The female ratio up.
And the
that's right.
The looks level is way up. It's getting evened out more.
She's almost as good looking as Freddie and I.
Yeah. She's combined. Close.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Brett Griffin, spotter for Colleague Racing. I spotted all of 65 laps this weekend. I'm glad I flew 2 hours and a half there and 2 hours home for that debacle.
What's up, Freddie Kraft, spotter Bubba Wallace, Derek Krause this week. I had a pretty solid week in old Kansas City. Morning, Casey. You look like you've been partying all week.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, guys. Casey Boat here, your marketing professional. Of course, we have Jason Schultz in the studio.
Old Jason Schultz. Hey,
Jason Schultz.
How
Again,
are you?
Again, not quite here. Haley, I am so excited that you are here because now if the guys give me they have to give it to you, too. I'm not the only girl.
Haley, is this the proudest moment of your career right now?
110%. 110%. Yeah. I told many people I'm gonna be on this podcast, and they're all very excited. Yeah. For it.
Awesome. I just want to clarify that before we get going.
I think you're confusing worrisome with excitement.
It's the same thing at the end of the day.
Are you sure they weren't being sarcastic?
Oh man,
possibly. I don't know. We'll find out. But well,
I'm really sorry that they put you next to Brett and TJ.
Casey, yes. You're starting it already. Listen, she's like, did she not just?
Don't make fun of me, but I'm going to make fun of all y'all.
Yes.
Yeah, damn right.
I mean, none of us had a super exciting weekend like you
all
did. You
right,
want to
so
start with Casey?
How was Kansas, guys?
Forget
congratulations,
Kansas.
Freddie.
Where was Casey at this weekend? I'm kind of lost on these Casey stories.
It looked like Miami.
No, I was not
it was
in Miami.
Not Miami. She was in Florida.
I was in Florida.
Okay.
Panama City?
It wasn't Daytona.
I flew into Panama City. Definitely not Daytona. I was in 30A, like Rosemary Beach area.
Never heard of it.
I have no idea
Nobody
what that
has.
Is.
Nobody has.
Nope.
It's probably good. That's probably a place
my parents
go.
Are looking at a house down there.
So nice. If they ever need renters, just
can
let
your,
me know.
Can your parents dance like Casey can? Because I hear
know.
She's got quite
I
the
think
moves.
I think I need to see the video of Casey
that
dancing
will
to
be
know.
By the time this show airs. So don't
TJ,
you
would you
worry.
Like to describe this video
oh my
to
God.
Our listeners?
TJ's always got all the inside scoop.
I don't want to tell. No, I do not want to describe this because I can tell the way Casey's looking at me right now. I don't even want to look at her.
Did you know she was that flexible?
Is she still looking?
I heard you say dance off, and my money is on Casey 100%.
No, I've got bread every day of the week.
Every dance off ever.
You've never seen this. You've never seen this.
Maybe at clogging or whatever he does, whatever that is.
Give me Brett at 1 o'clock in the morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'll take on any dance competition
okay,
in the world.
Well, we will be in Nashville in a few weeks. I will be there, so bring
I just
on.
Need to know what I'm up against. I need it to know how hard I got to bring it.
You will not know. Sorry.
Is this it?
I'm trying.
Oh, Jason's got it. Jason, oh, send man. That to all oh, of man. Us so we can share it right now. Yes. Jason has found the twerking.
Listen,
are you going to turn into Britney Spears on us? Is that what's happening?
Well, growing up, I was a dancer, so I just
what kind
back
of dancer?
The moves. A classy dancer.
Oh, so you threw all that away this weekend.
Contemporary. I feel like you could be a contemporary.
What? Contemporary, what is it? No, I wasn't graceful enough for that.
Brett, what the hell is a classy dancer? Like, I've never heard of that description before.
Ballet, maybe.
I mean, I think that's classy. No, I wasn't graceful enough for that.
So what kind of dancing are we doing? We're not doing contemporary. We're not doing lyrical. We're obviously, are we jazz dancing?
It's hip hop.
No, listen. So, yeah, it was hip hop. It was like.
Oh, it's hip hop. All right. This is hip hop. This is nothing like, you know, let's get in the pond, like dirty dancing and practice. No.
So
this,
how is Kansas, guys?
There's no dancing at the Great Wolf Lodge where I was at. Let me tell you, if you want to know what it's like to be a 47-year-old grown-ass man and feel really weird, stay at the Great Wolf Lodge by yourself.
Oh, my God.
I walked in to check in, and I was like, this is so awkward. I don't know what to even do right now. Yes, sir, can we help you? I'm like, yeah. Griffin, check in. Oh, just one of you today, Mr. Griffin? I'm like, yeah, this isn't weird at all. Yeah, no, it's just me.
He tells me about it, like, whatever you got is itinerary Monday or Tuesday. He's like, yeah, I'm at the Great Wolf this week. It's weird. I'm laughing at him. I'm like, who staged at the Great Wolf? And then I got mine on Wednesday, and it was, oh, yeah, I'm at the Great Wolf, too.
Did you do the water park? Thank God there was a Hooters with it. No, you know how weird I felt in the water park? Me out there with my man boobs riding down water slides by my damn self.
I saw him.
I literally would have had to borrow somebody's kid so that I didn't feel so weird.
Could you imagine all the parents are like, all right, son, let's stay away from
this. I'm just picturing Brett and Freddie going up the stairs to the slide together.
We actually did like the tandem tubing. It was fun.
Yeah, the toilet bowl one. Yeah.
The only 40-plus-year-old man that feels comfortable at amusement parks by themselves is Tony Hirschman. He does it all the time, and he goes every week, wherever there's one. He's got to be on somebody's list by now, because he is literally a 45-year-old man, whatever he is, walking around amusement parks by himself at all times, every week, just essentially.
Purposely, for fun.
Yeah, for fun. Like, he goes by himself. Like, when he'll come here next week, he'll go to Carowinds. Whether or not anybody goes with him, he's going to Carowinds next week at some point, guarantee it. Yeah, awkward.
Has he ever been reported for, like, a suspicious person?
I'm telling you, he's on a list somewhere. He's like, they've got his picture on the wall. They follow him with the cameras as he's walking through the park. I guarantee it. But like, Rodney Childers ran into him. Rodney Childers had his kids with him, ironically enough. Weird.
Oh, what most people do at parks.
Yeah. And him and his kids are in line for like the bumper cars somewhere, maybe at Carowinds, I guess. And Hirsch is out there just lacing into like 8-year-olds by himself on the bumper cars, having the time of his life. And Rodney's like, oh, who are you here with? And Tony's like, yeah. Nobody.
So speaking of Tony Hirschman and Kyle Busch, Haley, last week we had Tommy Baldwin on our show, and we have a new challenge for our guests. Tommy came on our show, and he called Kyle Busch a little
Man.
Now, I do not condone you calling anybody a little bitch on the show.
No,
but if
I don't
you
think
do,
I should call Kyle Busch that. We're still on the truck series.
If you do, I will give you $100. If you find at any point in the show a reason to call anybody other than myself
a
little bitch.
Do you know how much racing costs? $100 can get me like a tear off, maybe for the day.
Hey, is it $100 per mention or just one time?
Yeah, it's a one time drop. Yeah. It's a one time. I've only got like 5 mentions in me today, but definitely the first one is worth $100.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe I think a zero.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't have to call Kyle. You can call TJ a little bitch. Like,
and Freddie eligible for this?
Are you? No, it's just
the guest. Okay.
Yeah, it's just Haley. Yeah.
TJ's on my side more than anyone is right now.
Yeah, because you pay him.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of
listen, the second you stop
Either
paying
way,
him,
he's on my side. It don't matter how he is.
He bashed Joey Logano last week on here because Joey's no longer paying him.
I did not bash him. I just said it was a little... I didn't like the move because a car got destroyed. And I don't like when race cars get destroyed like that.
So. Like, beep, beep.
No.
He's backing up.
That's exactly what I said.
Well, maybe I would say we could start with like Kansas Cup race, but maybe we should start with Kansas Truckers since you guys were here.
Well, I mean, we could back up even further than that. Like, we have a guest on here, and maybe a lot of people may not know Haley. We're obviously everybody should know Haley.
Horrible intro, by the way, TJ. Like, really stepped it up there.
So the first time Haley popped up on my radar was driving Bill McAnally's car out in the West Series because she was teammates with Derek. And I was helping Derek already some late model stuff. And that's where she popped up. But like, where did you get into racing from? I know you did some like stadium truck kind of racing, whatever that was.
So I did off-road truck racing since I was 8 years old when my dad started off-road truck racing in the Lucas Oil off-road series. I pretty much just went over there and it was kind of a family thing. I was really just there because my parents or my dad was racing already. And then I just fell in love with it. And then we started getting better, started winning races, winning championships. And at like 15 years old, I kind of peaked in that series and I was like, okay, well, what's next? And so my mom actually signed me up for the diversity program, said it didn't submit or whatever. And somehow I ended up in North Carolina driving a legend car and late model and stuff. So I kind of got into that deal a little bit. And then all of a sudden I got picked up by Toyota and spent a couple years with them on a couple K&N races. And then I switched to Ford.
So you haven't been oval racing very long?
No.
Not in the grand scheme of things.
No, I haven't. Not very long at all. I got like not much family background in it. Like all of it's still new to me. I've learned the ropes now of it, but at the beginning I was so lost. It's so different for me. The people are different. I just feel like the whole atmosphere is a total change for me.
Yeah. I personally love to see females come into the sport as drivers. I worked with Johanna Long for a little while, was a huge Danica Patrick fan. Like I love to see the progression. So you're having to play catch up, and that's kind of the thing that most females in sports, motorsports, have to do anyway, because guys do start racing in this world now at 5 years old, and it's mm-hmm. crazy how good they can be by the time they're nine. So they have 10 years more experience than the majority of the guys you're around, right? So how do you close that gap?
Yeah, like I'm not touching pavement till I was about 15 years old. Like it's tough, very, very tough. But I don't even know if there's a way to close that gap. Like you go back on like Racing Reference, Matt Crafton's been racing trucks longer than I've been alive. Like it's hard to make up those years. Like that's tough.
True
like,
story. Yeah.
It's tough to beat that experience. Like knowing that those guys have been to those tracks 20 times, like, and you're just going there for the first time, like last year with no practice, just taking the green and hoping that your truck is kind of what they say it's like and going to handle that way and nothing's going to go wrong. It's hard to trust that.
Well, not only are have they been to the track probably for 15, 20 years, for multiple races a year sometimes, we used to practice hours, 2-3 hours sometimes for trucks. We get a couple hours of practice, and now there's 20 minutes and good luck.
Yeah, 20 minutes and we're riding to qualifying. Like,
and that was just this year. I mean, how many races do you go to where your first lap on the track was the green flag of the race?
Majority.
You know, 20. Yeah,
last year was tough last year because we did a lot of sim work, just virtual stuff. Like, this is what a start's going to be like. This is what this is going to be like, because our first lap was going to be at the green flag.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of work of situational stuff like that. That had been the hardest year to enter any racing series in general, when you're, you know, that's by far the toughest year.
And I don't think a lot of people realize this. And I think, you know, you come out of the ARCA series, you come out of the K&N series with wins, and people just think, wow, you know, she's going to be amazing here. You know, she's the next big thing. Talk about how big that step is from the ARCA / K&N series to the truck series. Cause I mean, the competitiveness and the level of competition you're going to go against ramps up by 10 times, maybe 20 times, you know?
I feel huge. Like I kind of got into the K&N ARCA stuff as it started going on its downslope. Like, you see where it's at now. It's nowhere near where it was 4 years ago. And I feel like it almost didn't prepare me properly in the way I felt like I should have been prepared for it. Just with the competitive level, instead of going out there and having 20 great trucks and it was 5 good cars, and it's still like, yeah, those guys are good, but there's only 5 of them. Few wrecks or whatever, you take out 2 or 3, and then next thing you know, it's just you and someone else. And so I feel like there was a lot of situations where I did learn, but I needed to learn more and prepare more. And those tracks were small that we were racing on. So like when we go to like a Martinsville, I feel comfortable. But like then you start going to these bigger tracks, it took some time to learn. But I think that I've tried to use every single resource to prepare for it, but it's still hard. Very, very hard.
One thing I've been impressed with you is I've seen people race like idiots around you, and I've seen them, I don't want to say take advantage of you. I just think they've raced you poorly and put you in really bad positions.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see you really returning the favor. Like for your age and your experience level, that's impressive, because I say this all the time. When I sat down to talk to Noah Gragson when he was leaving the truck series to go up to the Xfinity series, I said, you're going to be a better Xfinity series driver because A, you're not around a bunch of idiots all the time, which if you're after about 8th place on back in trucks, there's more idiots than not back there.
Oh, it's terrible.
And the trucks are so dependent upon one another to go fast. Mm-hmm. You have to use each other's air, and you have to side draft, and you have to do all the things that actually suck that in terms of being independent as a race car driver. How do you keep your cool in there?
That was the hardest part, was learning the air. Like having people talk to you, and coming from off-road racing, you didn't deal with air. Like I had no clue. Like, what do you mean you got feel the air and feel on your right rear or whatever? And I'm like, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. I'm like, man, this is going to be hard to like feel the air. And so That was a challenge, but I feel like it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. But even racing around those guys, I feel like we do get taken advantage of a lot. But also, I get fired up when someone does something to me, like really fired up. And I think it's my dad kind of like speaking through me. But we've had so many situations where we've gotten wrecked out or put in bad positions. And it could just be not our fault and just get in a situation, someone else's situation. And I feel like I have kept my cool because I know how crucial it is that I need good finishes, start popping off good finishes, get the momentum going. And that's why I don't retaliate to take that chance of something happening to me. You see, oh my gosh, you get a tire rub and it's just downhill quick. And like, that's something that I don't want to put myself in that position.
Very mature of you to do
that. I don't think she's ever keyed up and lost her cool.
I don't key up when I lose my cool.
Just scream without hitting the button. That's all you
got. Oh, my button got stuck at, where was the last
one? You did actually key up one time. She yelled at me.
I did?
Well, you spotted her, remember?
You probably deserved it.
No, we're going on the backstretch of Darlington, coming to the green. So I'm like, all right.
Oh, yeah, I did yell at you.
Clean your tires up. And you know, everything you do to get ready. And we're going through 3 and 4. And I say something to her, she keys up and talks back. Well, all the truck noise, the motor never goes away. So the button's like still keyed. It's stuck down.
Mm-hmm.
We go green. I'm spotting, but every time I let off, I can still hear the motor and all that. So you know the driver's still keyed up. And I mean, we're going through 1 and 2 and I'm just like, I'm still spotting, but every time I let off, I can hear the truck motor still. So I know it's like
overruling you.
Yes. Yeah. And I know she's probably doesn't know it because you can't tell.
Yeah.
So I think she just thought I had an issue or something when as soon as I heard the motor stop, I'm like, Haley, your button's stuck. So she, you know, your button's sticking. Don't push it unless you have to. But yeah, I guess she yelled at me for that.
Yeah. I keyed up.
Did you call him?
It was off of 2. I just remember just like, cause I was so focused on what was going on. Like
Well, Darlington's tough through 1 and 2.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to see, make sure they're not stacking up because that happens a lot. Darlington, someone lights up the tires, that row's stacking. So I'm trying to look and like see what's going on there and then trying to protect my right side, seeing how many trucks are on my inside so I know how much room I have to turn down the track off 2. And like, I was utter panic. And so I just grabbed button one time. And I was like, sweater! And then it started working again.
good.
On that note, obviously, from your background, you're not used to having a spotter, so that had to have been tough having
My type of dirt racing, I had a spotter.
Okay,
so it wasn't like typical dirt racing, like you got in Millbridge and stuff, or midget racing. Like it's not. We had spotters. Okay, so my dad was my spotter, so my ass ripped.
Switching from your dad to TJ was a real adjustment too.
I had to tell TJ to kind of like don't hold back. Like I don't do well with monotone. I'm like say if you like, if you're like want to say something, like say it, like lay into
tell
me
us
if
how you
I'm
feel,
doing something
yeah.
wrong. Yeah. And like, I feel like I had to kind of tell, I feel like everyone gets a little like kind of a little, I don't know if it's just the NASCAR world side of it. Like everyone stays a lot more calm.
That's what
and, like,
I do.
Relaxed,
I stay
but,
so
like,
calm.
Yeah,
already.
That's right. I like being fired up. I like someone to yell at me if I'm doing something wrong. Yeah. Like I like that aggressive, like on the radio, or else I start getting monotone and then I start not driving as good when I'm, or making like as aggressive moves when I'm monotone.
I usually stay really calm most of the time. Yeah. The only time, like if I see you, like you can kind of hear, I think I did it at Kansas one time when you follow somebody, I'm like, all right, if he goes here, you go here. Then you followed him.
Yeah.
The
25.
Like, yeah, I'm like, that's when you have to move. Like, you cannot follow him. He's doing this on purpose. Yeah. You cannot follow him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like, I mean, I didn't yell, but I was like, look, this is what, you can't do that.
Yeah, like, I can tell by your tone and stuff when, like, I'm like, okay, I did something wrong. I need to do
like
that again.
He has, like, the dad tone, right?
But I'm not, like, I didn't yell,
no, my
but
dad,
I'm like,
my dad would lay into me. Say, maybe, like, regular, like, soccer dad tone, but, like, dude, I got my ass ripped.
Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, what's it like growing up with a badass like Brian Deegan for a dad? I mean, just your childhood alone, I can't imagine what that was like.
It was intense. Like, I feel like every moment was intense. Like, you're always, if you say something just a little bit wrong or, like, not the way that, like, he wanted, it was, like, hardcore lecture. Not lectures in like, I'm so disappointed in you or whatever. Like you just got laid into you. Like,
I'm glad she's on today.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show this clip to my kids.
And I see him do it to Hayden too. And it's so funny. Cause like now seeing it in like where someone else is here in your shoes, you're like, man, this is funny to see from the outside. Where you don't even have an opportunity to get a word in or try to explain yourself because you already messed up by not saying it the right way the first time. And you're like, I just got to take it.
So what's his reaction? What's your brother's reaction when he's getting...
Oh man, he just like, my little brother. He just completely like shuts it out and just does his own thing. Like he'll just walk and just like wander off. But like I get a call from my dad, and I don't think they understand the NASCAR world fully just yet, because it's hard to understand unless you've done it. Like it was so hard for me to even understand what I was getting into. But like I get a call, like, and they still think it's like Kane and West. They're like, and so my dad will call me, my mom will call me for the race. I'll be at driver intros, like about to walk on stage. And he's like, just take those guys out. Like, remember what you did in K&N to win. I'm like, Dad, like, it's Daytona. Like, I can't just do that. And like, it's tough to explain. And like, the whole air side of it, like, it's so hard for people to understand when you haven't done it before.
I saw him around the track a lot when you first started. Is he still come around some?
Yeah, so my little brother just started racing for Yamaha out in Florida.
And he's a stud, your little brother,
yeah,
right?
So they're very taken up with his stuff. And now I'm out on my own. I got my own house, and so they're a little bit less involved because they have to focus so much on Hayden because he's in crucial years of his career. Like he's at the right now the most crucial part, so they're focusing a lot of time on him, which is great. Like Hayden's a badass at what he does, and he's gonna be very successful, and it's good that they're investing their time into him.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier the Toyota piece. Obviously, you're with Ford now. Mm-hmm. When those talks were going on and you were considering switching, who'd you lean on during that time? Because obviously, it's not only a business move, it's a big competition move. And we all know how invested Toyota is in this sport. I mean, we've had Harrison Burton, other Toyota guys on our show, talking about all the things they bring to the table. So not only what was attractive, but who was helping you make this decision? Because that's a big decision.
Well, my dad was actually with Ford back in the day for multiple years. And so I already knew everyone at Ford. And he had relationships with those people. And like they saw me at a little age running around X Games and stuff. But it was honestly kind of a no-brainer for me. I feel like I already knew everyone over there. I already kind of had that connection with them. But also, I feel like at Toyota, like I've never really talked about this much because it doesn't get asked much, but I was promised a lot of things that weren't kept. And I kind of laid on those promises, kind of expecting them, because it was like, oh, if you do this, like, we'll make sure you're doing this now, next. And I was promised so much that I didn't receive.
Wow.
I feel like my deal got smaller and smaller every single year.
Right.
Like that first year was awesome, but it just, they started backtracking on it a little bit. And like, even like when they promised like, oh, if I win, I'll get this, and never got those things. So that's one thing. If I am all about people being like true and honest and doing what they say they're going to do. And as soon as that happens, you lose that trust and you lose that relationship, and it puts a wedge in between, and I didn't like it.
Right, right. Well, you made the right move. So I was looking up some of your social media stats. You're almost as big as TJ Majors. Twitter, 132,000 followers.
I hate Twitter.
457,000 followers. Facebook, 725,000 followers. Instagram, 1.2 million. TikTok, like 3.1 million. You are quite the freaking social media mogul.
Thank you.
How'd you do that?
I love social media. I've loved it from a young age, and I felt like it was fun showing my personality and like showing people like who I was and my journey. But I hate Twitter. I absolutely hate Twitter. That's why I have not that many followers on it. I barely ever go on it.
Right.
Rarely ever go on it. Just because I hate the negativity part of it. I like people who are positive and funny on social media. And that's why I hate Twitter. So I pretty much focus on Instagram my whole life, just posting quality stuff every single day, never missing it, always showing people my story, what was going on. And then TikTok, the reason why I have so many followers on there is because when COVID hit and we weren't racing anymore, I had nothing else to do. Like, racing's my life. Like, I really had nothing else
to do. Yeah, we were all pretty much in
that. Yeah. You guys understand too. So pretty much, like, every single day, like, I posted, like, two videos with, like, the trends that were going on, and that was kind of at the time of TikTok, where like if you were hitting it hard and doing it right, like you were popping off, and it grew my Instagram a lot too. People transferred over. But I get recognized so much as at like the grocery store from TikTok. Like a bunch of little kids, like
yeah, kids. Always.
And the coolest thing too is like you're providing the content that fans want to see, like that behind the scenes, the content that's like not structured, or I mean it's obviously some of it's edited, but you're showing your life, which I feel like a lot of people don't provide that access.
Yeah. I'm very true and honest on social media.
And like you said, like Instagram, TikTok give you a better platform to show your personality. It's based on pictures and videos where, you know, you're not getting – somebody's personality through a tweet that you're reading. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can post a video on there, but like you said, Twitter is an interesting place for sure in the racing world. Like it's, but you know, maybe you can help grow Casey's TikTok now.
I can help you out, but like,
so what we're getting is she hates Darfs on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you
we
know,
we all do. None of us like the Darfs.
The reason why Twitter is so bad and so negative is because it gives people who haven't earned a voice a voice. That's the problem with Twitter. And like people, usually you have to earn that respect of people for your opinion to be valued. And I feel like Twitter is the only place where you can say whatever you want with two followers and it could pop off. Yeah. And
Your profile is an egg.
I learned a long time ago with especially with the Bubba stuff, like the only thing they want you to do is reply to them.
Yeah.
Like that's all they want.
And reply to it, they go, oh, such a big fan. Yeah.
Or if you block them, oh, look, so-and-so blocked me. Like I just, every one of them, every Darf that I encounter on Twitter, yes. I just ignore them. Or I like their tweet like sometimes just because they like, you're not bothering me. Like I don't
it's
care.
People, but it's people like that. Why I don't look at Twitter much anymore is because of that. Because literally went, you know, Dale Jr. retired. I went from, oh, you're really, I hate you. I mean, I literally got direct messages saying, I hate you. I cannot believe you're doing this. Like, what did I do? Like,
it actually gives me a lot of hope when people talk bad about you because I'm like, look, you can do nothing wrong and like be one of the best spotters in the game and still get talked bad about. And so I'm like, that gives me hope.
I found that out right when I told people where I was going when I left Dell Jr. That was, yeah.
Before we dive into the show, I got to ask you one thing. Every driver I've ever worked with has tracks they circle on their calendar. Like, hey, that's a place I'm going to run well. Mm-hmm. What's your tracks you circle at the beginning of the year saying, I think I got a shot to win there?
Kansas.
Kansas was Kansas, but maybe next Kansas, but a mile and a half. I don't know why, but whenever we get to mile and a half, I feel like those are my deal. Like, I feel so comfortable there. Like, maybe it's because everything kind of slows down a little bit and I'm able to more so process what I'm doing because I feel like I know exactly what to do, but sometimes it'll happen too quick to where I can't do it exactly right. But I feel like when you get on those mile and a half tracks like Kansas, I can kind of see when things are going to happen. Like when Stuart Friesen was kind of pulling like the slider move on me in one and two, like I knew exactly what was going to happen before. And I knew if I tried to turn in his wake, wasn't going to be able to turn. So I made sure I turned before and was already angled. So when he did slide across me, I was already in the right direction to go. So like, I feel like it all slows down for me on mile and a half, so I'm able to use all the knowledge that I've learned.
We worked pretty hard on the air stuff for a while, and she only made like a couple small mistakes in the beginning. As soon as she felt like what it was like to be directly behind something and lose the nose, that was like it. Never like I probably can. It's probably only been like two or three times every mile and a half we've ran so far total. Like she's really good at keeping the left front out. Like when Stuart was like diving in there, she backed off early so she could turn anything past him again. But she's gotten really good at utilizing the air to her advantage. She's really good at doing that stuff. So honestly, air is pretty hard to teach. When I did work with Danica, it was super hard for it. Like it's a hard learning curve for that stuff. You picked it up very quick. So I think that's when things string out in the mile and a half stuff, we start passing people, you know, and she goes forward. So I do like mile and a half is definitely your strength.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm looking forward to Charlotte and Texas.
Obviously, we all want to win. Everybody goes to the racetrack wanting to win. What is a successful weekend for Haley Deegan? Like, what are you? Obviously, we want to win. Like I said, but like, what are you happy if you run? Where are you having a good weekend?
I would say top 10. I would say top 10 is a good weekend. If pit crew's on point, if I get a decent truck, like I would say top 10 is a good finish.
Don't get wrecked by five guys running five wide in a turn three.
You know, get
Darlington.
Put in the fence at Martinsville on first stage. Like
it's that I live there. That 10th to 15th world in the
dangerous.
Truck series is a
dangerous.
Nightmare.
It's there's so many. The hard part about it is there's so many bad habits that
you're learning bad habits. Yeah.
Like first time I went to Martinsville, I said, look, where people were embarrassing, I'm gonna have to unteach you everything you're gonna learn right here because it's like they dive three wide at the bottom. They don't even try to pass people. They just run into you the first time they get to you, and that's not how you should race. Mm-hmm. So,
we didn't have to worry about that since we got put three wide and got flat in like the first 10 laps. So,
All right, well, we're ready to kick it. Be opinionated. Be fun. Be everything that TJ's not.
Pretty much.
Well, post Penske TJ is better.
Yeah, Penske's way better.
Post Penske TJ.
The Bojangles biscuit he had this morning will definitely help TJ bring it today.
We'd like to thank Bojangles for the breakfast.
I'd like to make a quick content comment because that's my thing. I think Haley's got the best content of all drivers in NASCAR and understands it better than anybody else. And coming from me, that's the director of content. Yeah,
that's a big Jason's our director of content.
The VP of content, I think, is your next.
By the way, a little backstory. Exactly. Jason created his own.
Content.
No, he created his own title for his job. Nobody gave him his title.
He's really an account coordinator.
Account coordinator.
Content coordinator. All right. Speaking of content, Dirty Mo Media is going to the Indy 500 for the first time in a few weeks. We're going up there to capture all kinds of cool content. I'm going. Our other assistant producers, Andrew Kernland and Ben Walton, are going. It's going to be a really fun time. A lot of cool stuff planned. And we're also launching this big piece of new original content at Dirty Mo Media that's going to debut the week leading up to the Indy 500. So stay tuned for that.
Wow.
Hey, there's Ben.
Yep.
The other kid over there. Hey, TJ figured out his name. It's only taken 2 months now, whatever it is. Going to the snake pit?
Yeah, probably snake pit. Hannah Newhouse is going to be there too, so we're going to hang out with her in the snake pit.
That's going to be fun. Hashtag S Junior.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Andrew's one of his buddies, and the best thing about Andrew is he borrowed his dad's car one time, and he stopped to put gas in it, and he put diesel in it.
You know what? I actually messed up one time.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
No. How was I supposed to know Andrew, the Sprinter van took diesel?
You put gas in a diesel. Uh-huh, yeah. But that would fit. You know, the diesel doesn't fit in the regular gas deal, right? But it did. He
just launched her on in there.
Okay,
He just stood back and shot it in there, I guess. I don't know.
And this kid's like, his IQ is probably
300.
Way higher.
So if anyone's been to Indy before, tells us what we should go do in Indy, what we should go see, what we should go capture.
You got to go to St. Elmo's. I don't care if you get a steak, but you got to get shrimp cocktail.
We already got a reservation there. Mike's are really on board for that one.
I'm sure.
So wow. It wouldn't get you to Vegas there. Yeah.
Harry and Izzy's, same thing. Yeah. It's next door. Go to the Wild Beaver anytime after midnight.
The what?
Oh, God.
I swear to God, it's not a strip club. I mean, I know it sounds like one, but it's not. It's a karaoke bar. Show? It's the Indianapolis version of Saeed's, essentially. Yeah, everybody gets drunk and ends up there at midnight.
Haley, do you know why they call strip clubs shoe shows?
No.
Because the women are only wearing shoes.
Isn't that only Vegas ones?
Yeah. Well, yeah, around here it's not that way.
I mean, you'd be surprised at some of the places they've been to on the circuit. Show.
That's the funny part. I feel like Every team has their like little spots.
Yeah, this is supposed to be on TV.
That's okay.
Can't be mentioned this stuff.
What? QTJ's comment, cut that one out.
Are you going to get in the creek and find a brick?
Well, I was going to ask Dale about that. I was wondering if that's legal that. For people just to go like, you know,
no,
casually go.
I think you need to, it's got to be on the DL, but listen, get in there and do it. I can hook you up with Brent Wentz. Okay. Brent Wentz, I've been trying to get him to get me one. He just got one 2 or 3 years ago, and there's a bunch in there still. So what the find you one? I want one, so I'm getting mine before you. But
okay,
be careful with those security guards, though. They're aggressive.
Them yellow shirts.
Oh yeah, whistles.
We got flashlights.
Whistles.
I hope it's documented of them just reaming your ass. Okay. Or something.
That would be good.
We're gonna capture everything. He'll cut it out if they do.
No, we're vlogging it all, so it'll be on there. All right, back to our regular scheduled content.
Well, before we head into Spot On, Spot Off, let's hear a little bit more about our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.
If you're interested in buying or selling your home, listen to this next message very carefully.
OfferPad is the easiest place to buy and sell your home, and you can get the process started today. It only takes 5 minutes to do so.
Go to OfferPad.com and fill out the form about your home, answer some quick questions, and submit it to OfferPad. They'll get to work on your cash offer.
You'll receive that cash offer within 24 hours and be ready to make that move. OfferPad will present you with two great ways to get you sold.
With OfferPad's Express Cash Offer, you can sell on your own schedule with more convenience, certainty, and control.
With OfferPad's Flex option, you list with confidence. It's ideal for those who want to list with maximum value and guidance from real estate experts.
We're headed down to Texas to race in the Dallas-Fort Worth-Denton area this weekend, and it's also one of OfferPad's markets. If you live there or want to move there and are ready to start that process, make sure you check out OfferPad.com.
There's a lot of fun things to do in Dallas-Fort Worth area, including eating all the barbecue your heart desires. Check out the homes available today on OfferPad.com.
When asked where you heard about OfferPad, select the NASCAR option so they know we sent you.
Spot on, spot off. It goes like this. Spot on means you agree.
I'm spot on.
Are you joking me?
He's lost his mind.
Oh, and by the way, no one ever seems to agree. And then spot off means you disagree.
Spot off.
Here we f-ing go.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But if you're TJ, there's only one correct answer.
I don't know.
It's time for spot on, spot off.
First topic, Haley, I'm throwing you into the fire right now.
Okay.
Joey Logano says, if Byron wants to keep going back and forth, I'll keep swinging. I don't think that's a good play for him in the long run. He can keep going, but I can promise you I'll keep going and go bigger every time. Spot on, spot off.
Is this like a quote they said? Like,
that's Joey, yeah, he said that.
Joey said that yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I think spot on, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone,
he said his piece.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if someone does something to you,
that was a mic drop.
Do it back, basically. More. Like,
yeah. I mean, he shot the shot across the bow there. I mean, and Joey's shown this in the past. He is not afraid to run into somebody for whatever it is, whether it's a win or not. I mean, Brett said it on here last week. Nobody's been swung at more than Joey Logano in this sport, and there's a reason for that. So you know, this didn't come as a surprise to me, and. I think you race Joey accordingly going forward.
Yeah, if you do it to someone once, like then if they don't do anything back, you know you can do it again.
Yep, Brett.
I think that William Byron owes Joey Logano one, and I think Joey needs to take it like a man when it happens. I didn't spot off Joey Logano last week for the move, and I thought, you know, it was a chicken move, but I didn't spot off him for it because he won the race, and we talk about win the race at all cost, and he did that, right? That's his decision. I mean, he had to walk in the garage this week and be stared at by all his competitors and peers. And I promise you, they look down on him a little bit for making that move. But that he's got to carry that weight. But here we are back talking about a comment that Joey Logano made, which was, I can go bigger than William Byron. Well, let me tell you something. If I'm William Byron, TJ, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to race my balls off to beat that guy every single weekend. But if there comes a time when I'm out of the playoff and he's still in, that's when I'm going to pay him back.
Yeah, that's, you basically took the words out of my mouth. I don't know if it's a, you know, William goes into the playoffs, has some bad luck in the beginning, that target on you gets a lot bigger. And to me, you're just making it bigger by this stuff right here. And I do agree that, you know, William, they asked William, it's weird because William, I think he said, you know, he felt like Joey was, I forget what he said exactly, but he's like, he's one up on him. So then they were like, you owe him one. I didn't say that. Well, you just basically said you owed him one. But
Smiley is turning into a villain is what's happening. Joey Logano, nobody smiles more than Joey Logano. I don't think so, right? Warren Vigas is his manager. Warren Vigas actually worked for me for 4 to 5 years. He left my company and went to be Joey's manager. Super proud of him. Joey needs somebody in his ear to give him a little bit of humble pie because I don't really know what he's doing right here. Are you going to smile and be an ass at the same time?
I like the fact that he's walking the walk here, or talking the talk, but when it comes time, like you said, if something does happen, I want to see what the reaction is then.
Oh, we saw it. We saw it a few years ago when Kenseth stuffed him in the fans in Martinsville. He didn't take it very well after he had wrecked Kenseth the week before at Kansas, I think it was Kansas. And knocked Matt out of the playoffs. Matt did the same back to Joey.
I think it was it the next race or later.
It was the next race, I think.
Was it? I thought it was later for some reason.
Maybe it was 2 weeks later. But
I mean, that's the thing, though. William didn't retaliate this weekend. He's got it in his back pocket.
We said it on here about Ty Gibbs. Whatever it was a month ago when that deal with Sam, before the deal with Sam Mayer, you know, Ty was being very aggressive and pushing people around, and we were going to see how he reacted when it came back to him. And we saw that, like, and we talked about this, and Haley, you know, this is probably something people tell you, like, if you're going to give it out, you better be ready to get it.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I have no fault with anybody that wants to race aggressively. I just don't want to hear you cry and complain when you get it back.
And he's already crying. If Byron wants to keep going, we'll keep going. Byron isn't the one. He's not the one going. You're the one going.
I just think the pass could have been made without destroying the other guy and just wrecking him.
I just wanted to see him try. He never tried.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
I think he would have drove right by him, honestly.
Yeah, if you get there, whatever it was, two to go, and you make an attempt, you dive to the bottom of 3 and 4, and it doesn't work, and you regroup, and all right, now I'm coming to the checker, and you move him, I have way less of a problem with that. But as soon as he caught him last week, he put the bumper to him and gave him no shot. Drove him straight in the fence. So that was where my only fault was. Never even made an attempt to pass him.
Spot on, spot off. Kurt Busch's move to get past Kyle Larson for the win at Kansas and earn a win with his fifth different cup organization. Freddie.
Hey, Kurt. Great. 2311 is great. I told you guys.
This is the past that's going to happen at Darlington.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's what, like, they race each other respectfully. I heard, you know, Kyle got in the fence a little bit when Kurt was going by there.
For the 50th time.
And
yeah, it wasn't the first time.
I mean, God, he was in the fence all day yesterday.
He was.
But, like, somebody, I don't know if it was Cliff or a spotter, came on there and said, he just fenced us. And Kyle's like, no, he didn't. Like, Kyle knew, like, he didn't run me in the wall. He raced me hard and I got myself in the wall, you know?
Yeah.
And it was good for Kyle to step up and say that, because if he didn't, you know, a lot of people would be jumping on Kurt today about wrecking Kyle. But yeah, this is how you race. Like, Kurt was the better car. Kurt was the best car for at least the second half of the race yesterday. His car was on rails.
Yeah, awesome.
And he ran down Kyle Busch and passed him, then ran down Kyle Larson and passed him.
Earned
so,
it.
I mean, that's how you earn a win in the Cup Series and did it the right way at the same time.
I'm spot on for Kurt Busch. He's one of the best drivers in the series. He's one of the best NASCAR drivers I've ever personally seen race. And he did it the right way. I would have to give a shout out to him too for digging himself out of a few holes. The 2311 pit crews, and I'm sure Freddie, you know, has watched this probably closer than I have. They've struggled this year. Their net loss on pit road is probably as bad as anybody in the top 15, top 20 in points. So to overcome some of those pit road issues as an organization and still be able to win the race speaks a lot to how good of a driver he is, because track position is still king. And when the further you go to the back, the harder it is to get back to the front.
I mean, I really like Kyle Larson, but I would say with everything with that situation, for sure, Kurt, like, I think it was all good.
Mm-hmm. I'm spot on. That was a great race. Mm-hmm. Two guys, and Kurt got up on the wheel and made the pass. And even if he did brush Larson a little bit, I'd have been okay with that too. You're going for a win. Larson was very aggressive with him. He didn't hit him, but I mean, at one point I looked up off of two and Larson's car was pointing right at us. And I was like, oh gosh, Kurt's getting ready to drive right into him. And what a race. I mean, for those guys up there, and Kurt was the best car, and dude got up on the wheel, spot on.
Yeah,
it's one of Haley's favorite tracks. She wants to go there twice a year. I personally don't. I think yesterday's race was phenomenal, but give me that in the playoff. Give me that starting the playoff. I mean, I'm looking at Jeff Gluck's poll right now. Was Kansas a good race? 90% of people are saying yes. We have to figure out a way to make that race a little bit more special and a little bit more of a big event to get that place packed. And in order to do that, you put it right there on the playoffs or right at the fringe of the playoffs.
It's not far behind Homestead as far as that type of a racetrack.
Great racetrack.
Yeah, I mean,
restart's insane.
Going back to Kurt, you know, Kurt had a ton of speed last week at Darlington and unfortunately had two bad pit stops where he came out of the pits last and was still driving back up to the top 5 to 7 every run, essentially. And then we got caught up in the same wreck on the backstretch there. But I mean, you look at Kurt's stats, that's his 19th season with a win. I think there's only like 3 or 4 guys in the sport that have had more than that. The Richard and Kai and Jeff and all them, 9 consecutive winning seasons now in a row. And I feel like that's something that was more surprising to me than the fact that he had won 19 years. Cause I know he's been around for a while and he's been a really good driver.
That's a lot.
9 consecutive seasons. And that's across 3 different teams. And without losing, you know, this is his 5th different organization he's won in. This is why I felt like he was the perfect teammate for us at 2311, because you don't have, and we see this right now at Trackhouse. I feel like, we talked about at the beginning of the year, when Kurt Busch comes over to 2311 Racing, I don't think anybody's expecting Bubba Wallace to go out there every week and outrun Kurt Busch. You know what I mean? And you're bringing in a guy that's essentially there to mentor Bubba. You know, Kurt's probably on the downside of his career. Obviously, he's not going to go anywhere for a little while here. But, you know, this guy here is here to help Bubba. You know, that's the clear and cut case there, as opposed to a team like Trackhouse, where you've got two guys, Ross and Daniel, that are head-to-head, there's no clear-cut number one. I mean, right now there probably is, considering how well Ross is running, but it's easy to see them guys butting heads more so than Kurt and Bubba, because they both, Bubba and Kurt, are established in their different points of their career. But yeah, I mean, 2311, we've had incredible speed this year, I felt like. And
Kurt doesn't feel threatened by a Bubba.
No, and Bubba doesn't feel like if he doesn't go out there every week and beat Kurt, you know, that he's doing something wrong. Obviously,
Enjoy seeing Bubba have success.
And I mean, we have meetings every week before the race. They have meetings every week, you know, at the shop. And the teamwork is incredible. The cars have been rocket fast. This is the best Bubba's ever driven in his career. We don't really have a lot of great results to show for it for many other factors. But yeah, I mean, yesterday was tough. We had driven back up to the top 5 with 50 to go and got another pit road penalty, unfortunately. And Bubba still came back. And a lot of times in the past, that's a good opportunity for Bubba to do something stupid and wreck. And he didn't. He did a really good job yesterday. He drove back to the top 10. We got out of there with top 10, and we can kind of build off of that. But yeah, so the 23-11 deal is
Kurt's
is
a past champion. You were about probably two or three. Probably, right?
It was like...
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It was like 2003 or something.
2003. 2004. Yeah.
I mean, that's... But Kurt's Kurt carries himself very well nowadays, and I think Kurt's a great teammate for Bubba.
Multiple drivers face flat left rear tires on Sunday at Kansas. TJ, this one's for you.
It's hard to be... I don't believe it's a tire issue. No. So this is a setup issue where people are pushing the envelope. I don't like to see wrecked race cars, but this is, you're pushing the envelope on it, and we know the risk with it. And, you know, it's speed. It's like camber, right front camber used to be really fast, but if you run too much, you blow a tire. It's the same thing in the left rear now. So apparently that tire is very sensitive to the camber that people are running. I don't think it's a Goodyear issue. It's just speed. People going for speed and get bit by it sometimes.
Tab Boy and I actually talked about this on the roof at Daytona. These smaller sidewalls would impact at some point the racing. And I think with the independent rear suspension these cars have, that smaller sidewall, how much balance, I mean, Brian Murphy and I were talking about it, how much balance has been shifted to the rear. Man, that left rear tire, if you get too low on that air pressure, you're in trouble. Teams are going to want Goodyear to do better, but Goodyear at the end of the day is going to point the finger back to the teams and say, this is on you. Right. So I'm spot on. I'm spot on for the fact that it adds a dynamic to the race. Right. You've got to manage all the things properly. And if you don't, you end up getting behind.
Coming from the guy that doesn't want a tire limit.
I don't want a tire limit. Because if we had a tire limit yesterday and you had all these cautions coming out for left rear tires, what are we going to do? You're going to want four tires because of this issue. So you're saying with your strategy, you want it limited and you want it to stay out, and then you're going to be royally screwed.
I want people to be put in a position like they were, and some people took a chance. The seven, a handful of them guys, 47, stayed out that one time, tried to get some stage points. The 47, I believe, may have stayed up there okay. A couple of them fell pretty hard, but I like that. I like the opportunity to be there.
Yeah. So Brett, you're saying that now teams need to factor in the fact that they'll have tire issues depending on the setup they have.
I mean, we saw this coming in practice. What do we have? Four left rears flat in the first 5 to 10 minutes of practice. You can't even run many laps and you're already having an issue. So the teams immediately know, okay, we're challenged with being able to go a full fuel run potentially without losing this tire. We obviously got better at it, but I mean, Justin Haley and I were sitting at a bar watching the end of the race yesterday, and we're literally, what's the over-under on what lap the caution is going to come out for a left rear tire going down? So I love to see this playing into the strategy. And at the end of the day, the engineering, the data that TJ loves to talk about, and the crew chief, this is on them. This isn't on the guy or gal holding the wheel.
Yeah, essentially.
Or the tire maker.
It's definitely not on Goodyear because there's numerous guys out there that had no issues whatsoever.
If one car can make it throughout the course of the race, it's not the tire's fault.
Yeah, this
now, and we've seen places where it was the tire's fault.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was yesterday.
And I'll kick this to Haley in a second, but you know, this is like Brett said, it's on the crew chief. Like, this is what we had back in the day, like TJ said, right front camber. They had to put in minimum air pressures because guys were pushing the limits and we were blowing right front tires. And now with the independent rear suspension, it's the same thing. They're running too much camber and that's affecting your tire pressure. And you are making the determination of, do I want to go this much faster and take the risk or not? And Haley, like, if you're a driver and you have any kind of feedback on your crew chief, like, what do you want? Do you want to play it safe or do you want him to push that limit as far as he can, even though it may put you at risk?
It's a risk versus reward. You see,
I know.
I think it kind of depends where we were running, kind of stacking up. If we were in the kind of the front half versus the rear half, it would just depend because, like, you hear how hard it is to get parts and the having backups, like it, people going to track with three cars and having one backup, like that's a tough game to be in. And I think that with how hard it is to get stuff, it might not be worth it. But if you're in that top 15 and you need a little more, you know, you're kind of in the hunt of it, like then maybe it is worth it. But I don't know. It's risk versus reward.
Absolutely. And you know what? One thing I thought was interesting about Sunday's race, you guys can tell me this. I'll ask you the question, and then I'll give you my opinion. What normally constitutes a competition caution?
Rain.
And? Tire wear.
Tire wear.
Yeah.
And
We didn't have either one of those issues going into Sunday. What are you alluding to? We had a hailstorm on Sunday morning before the race. We had 10 cars have trouble in practice. What are you saying?
I just thought that maybe I was expecting to have a competition caution since we had the two biggest factors.
I think they knew somebody else would take care of the competition caution for us.
I appreciate it, Brett. Thank you. I didn't understand that at all, and I'm sure I'll get yelled at for that. But like, I didn't understand. We had rain all morning, and then we had tire issues all weekend, and
not just rain. The most obvious race
to have a comp caution, we don't have one. So I didn't really understand that. But yeah,
I'm sure. What an idiot.
No, not yet. I got a better wooden idiot than that.
It's a really good one.
I really hope Dale is going to the race next week so that he can join you in your hauler visit.
He can come as a hauler.
Spot on, spot off. 6 Toyotas finish inside the Cup top 10 for the first time since Watkins Glen in 2017. And Denny Hamlin's crew chief, Chris Gabehart, said last week that I am convinced we are the most dangerous 22nd place points team in the history of the sport. Brett.
I think Chris Gabehart has the current championship format to thank for being the most dangerous, because if this were the old format, he wouldn't even have the word championship in his vocabulary. So congrats to those guys. Obviously, Denny's a great race car driver. I do need to ask the question. I'm sure Freddie knows the answer. How many Toyotas were taken back to the NASCAR R&D Center yesterday following the race?
I think the only ones that went back to the wind tunnel are the 23 and the 11. But, I mean, I had to wait on the damn airplane because the Toyotas were so fast yesterday that 5 out of the 6 teams were in tech or getting the 23 ready to go to the wind tunnel. So I missed the entire Ranger game, which broke my heart.
I love the parody that we have here. Freddie obviously is Team Toyota on Sunday. I'm Team Chevrolet. TJ is Team Ford. I'm going to say the obvious. Ford is it a dis? I know they just won Darlington, but aero-wise, they seem to be at a pretty significant disadvantage. So NASCAR's in a weird spot here. We've seen rule changes, and Haley, I don't know as a driver how you feel about this. Personally, I think it's BS when we make rule changes in the middle of the freaking year. But we've seen rule changes come out to help a manufacturer that seems to be down. What's going on in the garage right now with the tech that Freddie just talked about, the wind tunnel that they're doing with cars this week? We could see Ford get some help. I mean, Brett Keselowski got outqualified by Cody Ware this weekend.
Yeah.
That shouldn't ever happen.
Well, you know, like we talked about, Brad had to be a little conservative because, like Haley just referenced, they didn't have a backup car. Chris wrecked in practice, and they Roush used up their one backup car. So, you know, he had to be a little conservative, but yeah, I agree. He probably shouldn't have been back there that far. But, you know, there was rumors beginning of the year, preseason, that when they did the initial tests on these bodies, that Ford had a big advantage, and they were told that they were not, you know, they made a rule change then to take a lot of that away. And obviously it's kind of, you're seeing the effects of that now, because if you build a car, you know, you spend all this time developing your car, you're submitted to whoever, you know, NASCAR, whoever it is going to approve it. And they go, nah, no, you're going to do this, this, and this. Now you've got, instead of this whole year and a half or whatever, 2 years you've been developing this car, now you've got 2 months to get it ready for Daytona or get it ready for wherever else. So I'm sure that probably put them behind the eight ball if those rumors are true. And like Brett said, when they do this, you can expect changes. When they take two cars from every organization or every manufacturer to the wind tunnel, they're looking to see who's got what advantage where and how they can level the playing field some.
And it's different now on the team side, TJ, because the teams used to be able to go home and make their own body. They can't do that anymore. They're buying this body.
Yeah, you're buying your body and stuff, but it's
weird.
I buy
my body. Look at
this. Yeah, I can tell.
Big Al's
clicking
beer and fast food.
You go to Daytona, look at qualifying. The straight speed of the car, you know, I don't think the Fords qualified very well, but in the race, we were able to work with each other better, and that proved to be more beneficial. But raw speed wise, you know, was struggling still. But, you know, I agree with your point, but I know everyone's working on it. And, you know, every week we go back, and I know they work hard on it. Matt and them guys are, you know, doing everything we can do. And I feel like when I went over there, I knew we would have some growing pains. Like, you're going to have, no matter what. I mean, it's going to happen. So Freddie had a lot of it last year. And you just got to keep clawing through. I don't think we were terrible yesterday. We weren't super good. We put together a solid race. I don't know, 14th. Took advantage of some attrition and stuff, which is what we need to do. You know, keep building on that. Let these guys keep fine-tuning that car now and figuring out what we need to do. We were pretty far off. We unloaded, but made some changes, and we were okay in the race. I thought, you know, we made some strides there, so that's good and encouraging. We can keep building on that.
Haley, this next one is for you. Spot on, spot off, ARCA team owner Billy Venturini's interview during the ARCA race. And Jason, you want to read that?
I know what David Gilliland feels. Drew wrecks all your when he's driving for you, and he wrecks it all when he's racing against you. So I can understand why he punched him in the eye at Bristol last year. Just typical bonehead move by Drew. Just pure lack of talent. Great kid, just doesn't need to be a race car driver.
I think Haley knows this firsthand.
Oh, man. I swear, I couldn't be around Drew for two laps without getting wrecked by him, put in the fence. I couldn't tell you. I'm about at the point where with ARCA, where I should have been invoicing him for the races. Like, it was so bad. Like, it was always race after race after race, and I was just over it, and I completely understand. I mean, like, it's kind of like it speaks for itself. Like,
must have a lot of dollars.
I don't know, five or six races for Billy. So I'm assuming that this doesn't surprise you at all that
I'm
he said
not
this.
The biggest Venturini fan. but, like, I'm taking their side on this one. it's right here, but, like, I don't think I have before in the past, but I think right here we are, like, I don't know. I'm not Drew Dollar fan either. I mean, he always dive bombs me in the truck series when he raced there too. He'd end up wrecking himself with it. Like, it's just typical. Yeah, I remember that. It is a funny one. I kind of laughed when he was going backwards.
I laughed after we didn't get wrecked in it, but
yeah.
He wrecked himself trying to dive. Like, Texas has that weird entry into one, mm-hmm. and he was all the way down. Like, I'm going to exit pit road down here or something. And just
I was at the bottom. Like, I was at the bottom, so I was not letting him get to my inside. And
he tried.
He still figured out a way to try to get
down
there.
And then all of a sudden I looked in my mirror and there he's backwards going towards the wall.
So is he the new John West Townley?
I heard John West Dollar on the roof at least three times the other day. So I don't remember who that was.
I didn't do the ARCA race, so I don't know. I mean,
I'm spot on for Billy Venturini's take on this. I mean, yeah. I watched the wreck.
He's very candid.
Play out, and I watched the guy make
honest.
A huge
yes.
mistake.
Honest.
And he took the leader out. And if he's wrecking as many people as Haley says he's wrecking, then he needs to go away.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you've seen that 18 car before. That thing is on rails. You see when Ty was in it, like, it was unbeatable.
Right.
And, like, he is running, like, third, fourth, like, I don't know.
Well, that probably puts the pressure on him even more to try to be up there and winning races and stuff. So
I thought it was funny. We were at Dover and we flew in. They must have had an ARCA race or like an ARCA East race, I guess.
Yeah.
So when we landed, I worked for the Venturinis forever. That was one of my first full time jobs when I moved down here, was working for Big Bill and Kathy. And I saw Big Bill and Kathy, so I went over to say hi to them. And Big Bill made a comment. He's like, hey, you need to have me on your podcast. And I jokingly said, well, just have Billy say something real stupid, and then I'll have you on that week. And here we are 3 weeks later.
Yeah, do you have him booked on the show yet?
He would probably love to come on here. And then if we didn't have three or four guests lined up already, maybe we would have done it. But yeah, I mean, I hate to say this, and Haley kind of referenced it earlier. This ARCA series is a bit of a joke to watch these days. You know, I looked the other day, there's five cars in lead lap. The guy that was running 10th or 12th was five laps down. I don't know what you can do to bring that series back, if it has to just go back to the K&N style where it's more short track based.
More dollars.
But no, I mean, that's the last thing you want. You're going to spend more dollars if that's the case.
No, I agree with that completely.
Yeah,
like 110%. You got cars literally finishing in the top 10, two or three laps down.
Yeah.
Like, are you like,
I think even more than that.
I mean,
sometimes.
We've seen a race the other night a race I felt, obviously, after Drew took out Corey, you know, it was the two Rev cars racing each other, and Raja, who I'm a huge fan of, he's kind of come, you know, he's a,
yeah.
He kind of leans on Bubba a lot. He's sending me a lot of text messages, and we've conversed a lot about his career and, you know, how to take the right steps to do some stuff. And I felt like that he was in a position to win the race the other day until, you know, there's some lap car just looked oblivious to the fact that he's coming up behind him and just pulls up right in front of him. And
yeah.
He had a check up, and that's how Nick got back in front mm-hmm. of Raja. And then Raja was never able to get back around him.
What are you
him.
Talking about? Was it there or Kansas whenever you put Garrett in that position?
It was Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah. So TJ, is this something like, do the officials step in since this kid is obviously off the
no.
race?
I mean, I guess punch in the eye don't even work. Like, usually when you get punched in the face, that usually kind of calms you down a little bit.
I think the problem is it's not intentional.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem.
Eventually you run out of places to go and race.
Sounds like he runs out of talent.
That's exactly what it is.
Like, you're eventually going to run out of places to go and race, and you're just going to be done. You're either going to figure it out or you're just going to be done.
Well, the he's reached it. This is it. Yeah. You know, you're driving KBM trucks, you're driving Gibbs cars, KBM, Gibbs / ARCA cars.
How much money does this kid got?
If you can't win races,
a lot of dollars.
Dollar. What do you think?
Yeah. You heard about that family, right?
I don't know.
Whoever, a lot of dollars.
Should be $1 million.
Whoever his dad is very sick.
Dollar General. Is that him?
But yeah, like, this is it. Like, if you can't perform in the stuff you're driving in now, like, I agree with Billy. It's time to pack it in.
Yeah. For sure. Like, a great interview, though. Thanks, Billy.
It was good. I was in the holler with all my crew guys.
When you saw him, they showed him on TV, and I couldn't wait for them to get a microphone to him. Because he was, you know, when he has that look, and I know Freddie knows. It's going to be good.
And the Venturinis have been nothing but great for that series. I mean, they've supported it, been owners in it.
Three, four cars for numerous years.
Without the Venturinis, ARCA series is in a bad place.
So. Oh, yeah. No, I feel like they're the reason why that series is still what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we might need like 10 minutes to just share this one, but the Texas All-Star Race format. Jason?
This is my favorite yearly segment where we take 2 minutes to read the entire format because it's maybe a little confusing. So
A little.
Sunday's race is 4 stages. Stages 1 through 3 are 25 laps. Stage 4 is 50 laps. The stage 1 winner will start on the pole in the final stage as long as he finishes 15th or better in stages 2 and 3. Stage 2 winner starts P2 in the final stage. Again, he has finished P15 or better in stage 3. Between stages 2 and 3, there will be a pit stop competition. Each team will perform a 4-tire stop. Teams with the shortest pit in to pit out time will start P4. The team with the shortest time will start P4 in the final stage, as long as they finish better than P15 in the stage 3. The stage 3 winner will start P3 in the final stage.
And I give up.
It's as if they do this every year.
I'm confused.
Jason, stage 4 is the
take a drink.
Yeah.
We're going to take a commercial break.
And we'll come right back with the rest of the format. Stage 4, if there's a natural caution between laps 15 to 25 of the final stage, standard race procedures are in effect. If there's no natural caution between those laps, NASCAR will call an all-star competition caution. Good luck on Sunday.
Could you imagine reading that and then someone saying, we're going to give you a test on the information you just read? Like, what the are we doing?
You going to get fans to understand it? That's what I'm asking. Yeah. Like, I want to know at NASCAR, because there's a lot of situations I feel like come up, who's making these decisions?
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
It's Brett.
What the hell?
I asked them that very question in the meeting. Like, we there are a lot of times in these scenarios, we would love to know who actually is making this decision.
I feel like they need to put a name on the spot of it. Like, who's the face of these decisions? Like, I don't know.
They probably do that on purpose.
They know.
I feel like it's the same person that chooses whether to run the AC in this building or not.
Maybe.
I mean, let's just start rattling off questions, and maybe they can answer them for us next week. So, okay, you said the stage 1 winner starts on the pole of the second stage as long as he finishes 15th.
He starts on the pole the final stage.
Oh, the final stage.
Yeah.
What if he doesn't finish 15th? Where does he start?
I don't know.
Oh, weird. So if the guy in the second stage doesn't win, you know, doesn't finish top 15, where does he start?
I don't know.
Oh.
Behind the guy that won the first one.
So third, so I guess that third place guy, if he wins the stage, he's obviously finished top 15, so he'll be on the pole for the final stage. So now you're going to put the pit crew competition winner on the front row for the last stage, as long as he finishes top 15. Mm-hmm. So essentially the winner of the pit crew competition is probably going to be on the front row, or could be on the front row for a $1 million race. What are we doing? I don't understand. Like, there's so much, I guess, pit crew competition total time. So that's going to be on pit road, not just your pit stop.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That when they used to do the separate competition for a pit crew, like, that was my favorite of the entire.
Maybe you should just do that again.
Yeah.
So I think the idea is there. It's just a lot.
Like, listen, I'll let these guys go before I give my ideas on what we should do with this race. But I mean, it's just. The all-star caution, I like the idea of it, but why are we doing it with 25 to go? Let's do it with 10. Like, if we're going to go gimmick, let's go all-out gimmick. Like, what
25
are we,
is too far.
Yeah, like 25, you know, I mean, you're going to have a restart, but it's going to get split out again. Like, that's just...
So, I think you're missing the beginning of this, too, is where are we at?
Texas.
You don't want to be in Texas for the all-star race?
I just think that track is narrow. I think it's very narrow, and it's going to be hard to make moves. And you know,
the track's not narrow.
No, the racing groove is very narrow.
The groove is narrow.
The track's six
track's
racetracks.
Really wide.
Yeah, you can put six racetracks there. but it's just hard to, it's hard. It's not, they don't go into the corner and fan out. You're too wide. three sketchy. Somebody's probably jumping the cushion. I just, you know, I think the format All-Star should be exciting. And I'm not, you know, I don't know. It could get spread out there and be hard to even.
Yeah, I mean, before we even talk about the racing, we have to get a way to figure out how our fans can understand what the hell they're even watching. Like, I don't understand it. Like, okay, who starts fifth in the final stage?
Probably whoever gets off pit road after stage three. That's my guess.
Probably. Well, do you know? No, nobody knows.
No one's told me.
When I first started in this sport, I would reach a lot of people that would say, I've never been to a NASCAR race. What race should I go to?
All-Star.
And I would say to them, you need to go to the All-Star race. And they would say, why? And I would say, because there's going to be a race before it where the winner transfers in.
Only
now we got like five honorable mentions that are All-Stars. We got fan votes. We got all kinds of going on, right? And then my second favorite part of it was, I was like, then you're going to have the best drivers in our sport line up. There's going to be 15 to 20 of them, and they're going to have a short race. Realistically, almost an Xfinity or Truck Series race in terms of the duration of the race, and it's going to be under the lights. It's going to be awesome, and you get to decide whether or not you like NASCAR Cup Series racing. Now, I would not dare tell a fan your first race needs to be the All-Star race because, A, it's a disaster. You can't sit in the stands where, oh, by the way, your phone doesn't work, and be able to figure out who's going to start where. So the PA guy, I hope he's smarter than whoever created this format because somebody's going to have to be able to understand and explain
him.
Maybe it was the PA guy at Texas Motor Speedway. And under no circumstance should we leave Charlotte, North Carolina and fly halfway across the country to Texas Motor Speedway to do this. It should be right around Charlotte.
Yeah.
And when I say right around Charlotte, I'll say Martinsville. I'll say Bristol. I'll even go as far as Atlanta. But it's ridiculous that we're going all the way to Texas for this.
Yeah. I mean, you're making teams that have I don't want to give anybody no shot because anything's happened. Anything can happen. But teams that BJ McLeod has to go to this race and –
You don't think he's going to transfer?
I don't think he's going to win the Open.
Are you sure?
I'm just thinking that. You know,
I disagree.
He had a tough day yesterday, but I mean, why? This is mandatory. They have to go. You know, I mean, like the Rick Ware Racing has to go.
We were talking about this at the beginning of the year with the first
Coliseum.
Yeah. So I mean, there has to be conversations with teams going on right now, like as to why are we doing this?
We're doing it because Texas Motor Speedway has two cup dates.
Right.
And they partnered with COTA for one of their dates. So they lost the cup date. So when they lost that cup date, they moved it from Charlotte to Texas. So this is always going to be, as of right now, at an SMI track. During COVID, where we go? Bristol. It was awesome. I thought it was a great All-Star race, right? So this is Texas Motor Speedway's way of getting TV money to that racetrack. I mean, I hate to say this, but like yesterday, the crowd at Kansas was as poor as I've ever seen it. And I say that in a disheartening way because the racetracks, they don't care. It's like 8% of their overall revenue. They need to be incentivized to pack the house. That's why I made the comment earlier. Kansas is a great racetrack. It needs to have one event, and we need to figure out how to make it special because, unfortunately, we catch crap on TV all the time because, A, the stands aren't full. And then here's your other struggle. We take sponsors to the racetrack that pay millions of dollars, and we're standing on pit road, and you're telling them how great it is, and they're spending all this money, and they look up in the stands, and they look back at you, and they go, well, why is nobody here? That's on the racetrack. These promoters and these racetracks have got to take the incentive to get people out there.
Cut his mic off.
I'm sorry. It's hot in here. Now it's even hotter.
No, I agree with you. As a driver trying to come up the ranks, like hounding, trying to find sponsor money, because that's what I run off of. Like, it's tough trying to bring together millions of dollars to go on the truck series. Like, it's very tough. And showing people who, like, look at the stands and isn't NASCAR dying? You're like, oh no, there's just no one going. Like oh no, but TV ratings are great. Like
TV ratings are
up 10%. Like they're like, what if they don't show you much on TV? And you're like, oh well, I can do 10 Instagram posts for you. And that's the battle I'm facing.
And you bring up an awesome point because you just came off of a second place finish to Tony Stewart in SRX, right? Last year.
Yeah.
So SRX, you see how they're doing it at track. Is it a lot different than how we're doing it?
The hospitality was amazing. Like everything was so coordinated right, timed right. Like there was always people to help you with everything, make sure you're ready to go. Like always how can I help you? How can I help you? Do you need something to eat? Let me go get you some food. Like, it always just, they catered to their drivers and it was awesome. Like super, super awesome. We had signings, thousands of people at signings. Like, it was just super, super cool. I was sitting there with Bill Elliott. Like, it's just cool moments. And I think that they did a lot of things right.
They
took the windshields out on the dirt.
Right.
And it changed the game of it. And ultimately, I raced in Knoxville in SRX and I raced in Knoxville in trucks. And it was two completely different races.
Yeah, yeah.
I love how you add that factor in, like,
hey.
That's right.
I just know, I've been around a lot of guys in this sport. And when they have their helmet on, and even you right now, you have your helmet on, you're a big deal. When you take that helmet off and you retire, right, you find it a little bit harder to get free concert tickets. You find it a little bit harder to get the backstage passes. You find it a little bit harder to get that private jet ride, a Telluride, right?
I want a private jet ride.
Yeah. So what SRX has done, though, is they've taken the retired guys and they've made it like super relevant again. And you've got tens of thousands of people coming out to Nashville, mm-hmm, and coming out to Eldora and coming out to wherever they go, I-55 Raceway, right? So I think we as a sport.
Packing the house.
We as a sport have to put more pressure on our track presidents to pack the house.
I think the problem is you got fans who NASCAR isn't bringing in, as much as they're trying to, they aren't bringing in younger fans. Like, still, they're not. Like, it's just end of story kind of the deal of it, but their fans are still that older generation. And so they're completely not catering to that older generation of who their core fan base is. Like, and I think that SRX kind of hit it with the home run right there because they brought all those older generation's favorite drivers back and it took them out from them maybe turning on NASCAR here and there, like, to actually coming to the track again to be able to see Bill Elliott race and all these other guys.
But like you said, too, you said there's autograph sessions.
Autographs. Imagine being able to go up after 20 years of Bill Elliott being your favorite driver and being able to go to an autograph session and have him sign your poster or diecast that you've had forever. Like,
that's also, you know, a good point you mentioned, too. They're also at racetracks that are home tracks for these people. Mm-hmm. And like when you go to a Millbridge, the atmosphere of it, it's not like all lights and like people everywhere. You can, mm-hmm, just hang out. And
yeah.
I feel like that the SRX did a great job of catering to those, the entire, every demographic, but also just that home track feel.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Busch winning is not going to bring out a younger demographic, but, mm-hmm, Kurt Busch driving the Jordan brand car very well could.
Haley
Deegan, you're at a awesome, I mean, you're in my mind the Casey Kane of 20 years ago. You can bring a lot of new fans into our sport because of your age and your demographic. Roger Carruth, another prime example of, mm-hmm, a guy. Like, NASCAR and these tracks have to partner on how do we leverage those type of opportunities to get our fan base younger. But at the end of the day, Haley, I've said this for the millionth time. Young people aren't going to come if their phones don't work.
Yeah. Oh, 110%. I hate it being at the track and your phone doesn't work. It makes it hard for me to do my job. I got a sponsor post to do. There's a reason why I can get people to pay for a truck series race. And I can assure you it's not just to have a logo on the side of a truck. And like, I got work to get done there too. Like, not having service there, like, that's critical. These races are long. If you're going to make these races long where people do get bored, you need to have the phones work.
And we do our best when the campgrounds are full and that's a 3-day experience for families to come out. We got to have these
phones work. It's a
weekend. It is. Mm-hmm. It's a whole weekend. So, hey, awesome job, spot on, spot off right there.
I still got to circle back because I talk about it on here all the time. I don't like to bash a decision.
Freddie.
I know. I do that often. I don't like to bash a decision without an alternative option. You know what I mean? We can go with the task on the format here all you want, but if you don't have a better idea, then what are you doing? You know, and I think it was Gluck that brought it up on Twitter and I just kicked it around and, like, the idea of eliminating cars from each stage is what you need to do. Because essentially, when you get to the last stage anyway,
puts the pressure on.
If you get to the last stage, you're not winning from 10th. You're not winning from 6th, probably, if it's a, you know, a 25, 50 lap stage.
Guess what else you're not doing? You're not making any money, so you're not going to race hard.
Yeah. So if you tell these guys, I'm eliminating 5 cars at the end of every stage, you're not going to want to, you know, you're going to obviously drive your ass off for those 25 laps because you don't want to get eliminated. You still want to have some kind of shot at racing. You know, we see it all the time. If you go out there and you're the guy that transferred the fan vote and you're running 20th, Like, you're like, okay, great. I'm going to run these 25 laps and then I'll just ride around back here, whatever, all night. Like, if you know that, all right, if I pass these four cars in front of me, I can continue on in this race. You're going to make the guys at the back half of the field run harder. And that might put on a better show for the fans that want to come out and watch it now.
Pressure needs to be on.
And then if there's five guys left at the end of the race, now we've really condensed all the attention to these five guys that are racing for $1 million right here. And I think that that is the way to go. Instead of trying to incentivize winning, because we've seen it, especially at Texas, if you get out front, more than likely, you're going to win this stage. Nobody's really going to run you down in 25 laps and pass you. So what you need to incentivize is the fact that you've got to run hard wherever you're at on the racetrack to try to be one of them five guys. Because if you're in the top five in a 25, 50-lap shootout, you've got a shot at $1 million. If you're running 10th to 15th, you've got no shot, really.
So five guys, green, white, checker.
Maybe not green, white, checker, but I'll be with 10, 10 laps, something like
that's too long.
That's how the pursuit is for BC39. Like, yeah. You saw that. I mean, granted, if you wreck out like the first lap, that sucks, but they eliminate cars so that it makes it more of a motivation for the guys who are up front and more exciting for the last few laps.
You have to incentivize these guys to run harder, because if you're running 10th or 12th in that race and you know your car's not great, you're just going to be out there for a Sunday drive. I'm just going to finish this race and get the hell out of here.
Especially now. Yeah.
So you're on to something, but at the very end, the last shootout is on a quarter mile instead of the track.
Yeah, the last lap, you got to slow down and run like the ledges.
Like a joker lap. You got to run a joker lap.
And you have to eliminate the spotters. And then there we go.
Easy. No, we never want to eliminate the spotters.
Okay.
Hey, Door Bumper Clear fans. This is Mike Davis with Dirty Mo Media, and I want to give you five reasons why RacingUSA.com is our favorite store for NASCAR merchandise. First, NASCAR fans have rated RacingUSA.com Google's top source for NASCAR merchandise, so you can always buy with confidence. Second, RacingUSA.com automatically discounts every order in your cart, so you always get the best price. Third, RacingUSA.com guarantees the lowest pre-order prices, so you do not have to shop around for a better price. Fourth, RacingUSA.com ships all in-stock orders the next business day, so you can get your order faster than anyone else in the industry. And fifth, RacingUSA.com has a wide selection of current season hats, apparel, diecast, and novelties for the sport's most popular drivers. You can find products that are not available elsewhere, like the exclusive Door Bumper Clear Justin Allgaier autographed diecast that sold out in less than 2 weeks. Fans, RacingUSA.com is Door Bumper Clear's choice for NASCAR merchandise, and we want it to be yours as well. So whenever you need a new hat, t-shirt, diecast, helmet, or novelty to show your support for your favorite driver, we want you to shop at RacingUSA.com, where you are always somebody special.
Yeah, this is Andrew. I am the Brett Griffin Fan Club president of the Indiana chapter.
Finally, yes! Way to go, Josh! Way to go!
The data tells me that Bubba still sucks. Freddy, you can't see
I just want to say, I'm not drunk.
My great-grandma outrun him, and she's 98.
Reaction Theater rolls in 3, 2, 1.
Charging up through the track, getting by guards, avoiding blocks, preventing Larson from stealing the victory. Here comes Kurt Busch with a slam dunk! He is 43 years old and still taking drivers to school. Have you ever seen a car get posterized before? Well, you have now, and it was in the most respectful of ways. Logano wishes he could win a race like that.
That's pretty good getting posterized. That's actually a good analogy.
That was intense.
Yeah. That sounds like a WWF announcer.
That was very good. The guy, he didn't sleep much last night.
I tell you what, the next time I have a jar at my house that I can't get open, I'm calling James Hook, Tire Carrier, Petty GMS Racing, to get on over here and fix that for me. That was the best, most entertaining 3 minutes of pit road coverage in years.
That's Rick James, boys. That's James Houck is his last name, I think. But those are my guys at the 43. They've been there forever. Feeds.
They're the guys that wave on pit road
every week
for years. Hilarious.
I felt bad. I texted back and forth the feeds a little bit last night about a Fiedler is the tire changer. And he just said, it's, you know, you hate to have something brand new happen in the sport that it happens to you, but it just essentially, he said, I forget exactly what he said, but it essentially knocked the cap off the tire and or off the wheel there and got it too tight, and they couldn't get it off. And the funniest part about the whole thing was Booty was giving us play by play of what was going on, because he could see their pit box from ours, and he was like, yeah, they got a big ass torque wrench on it now, trying to, or like a.
I saw that thing. Like, I didn't know that thing even existed.
And then he's like, "Oh, that didn't work. Now they got a impact or a concrete saw. Nope, that ain't working. Now it's an air chisel. Oh, somebody almost got decapitated." He said,
"Jeez, oh man!"
But yeah, old Rick James, he's the man. Those guys are awesome.
Hey, you know what? I thought the race was great, and I was so excited at the end of it when I saw Kurt Busch going into pit lane. And I think that's complete and utter bull that we can't show that. Something has to change to shorten the broadcast for Fox to be able to show this. It is an iconic piece of the sport historically.
If NBC wants to be popular, when they come back and they take over coverage of the sport, all they got to do is put the Victory Lane interview back in the post-race.
Oh.
They'll immediately be popular because Fox on social media is getting hammered every week for not doing this.
Why? Like, so they do the front stretch interview, and then they're done.
Then they're done.
Oh, there's no.
That's what we were talking about when Dale Jr. was on here a month ago. Like, we were talking about the fact that we're done.
I didn't know they
didn't
do it every time. So that's it.
If there's time, they'll show B-roll of it, but they won't show anything else. Well, yeah. What was that for, Brett?
It was a parade wave. They're leaving. They're gone.
Need to work on that.
Goodbye.
What the hell? Okay.
Eric Jones was having such a good race, and then that happened on pit road. He experienced what it's like to be Valtteri Bottas.
I mean, that's our first sound effects guy, I think. Yeah. That was interesting.
Jason used to play sound effects once in a while, but he's kind
of quit. He still does sometimes. Not for us. He just puts them in the show.
Haley, what do you think about all these loose wheels?
It upsets me.
That one wasn't loose. It was tight.
Because
we didn't have all these tight wheels.
I had this tight wheel thing happen to me at Coda.
Yeah, tight wheel. And that.
Same thing. We couldn't get ours off. But honestly, you know, we have other series that run single lug nuts. Mm-hmm. But in those series, there's not as many entries. You know, we're out there with 36 to 40 vehicles. Mm-hmm. There's obviously not as many pit stops. They're not as competitive as we are. Like, how what do you think about all this?
It really, really upsets me because if something happens, then it goes back on the pit crew. Next thing you know, it screws me because I'm over here in the truck series and two of my guys are out now because of something that happened in the cup series. I think there's way too harsh of a punishment for the issues they're having. I feel like this cup car, I don't know, maybe it's just my opinion, I might get hate for it. They weren't prepared for this cup car. They weren't prepared for all the issues for it. And they rushed into it, I feel like, really quick. And now there's a lot of consequences on it, and they're not owning up to it. NASCAR isn't. Instead, all it's doing is hurting a lot of these teams. It's putting these pit crew guys in a bind because they need paychecks. They got to put food on the table for their families. It affects now my racing. The reason why I've been having stops instead of where I was gaining positions, now I'm losing 7 on pit road because of something that happened in the Cup Series with that car, even though it has nothing to really do with me at all. But now I feel like there's just way too big of a punishment for it.
Yeah, yeah, valid points.
You're ruining my races over something that happened in the Cup Series. Like, doesn't make sense.
I think, so JGR from Dover with Denny, they appealed it. So those guys haven't had the suspension yet. That's probably coming up pretty soon, right?
I would assume next couple week. It should be this week. I would have thought, but yeah.
To leave an audio message 24/7, go to anchor.fm/doorbumperclear and click the message icon. We'll keep playing the best ones each week on the show.
OfferPad question of the week.
What's the coolest feature in your home, Haley?
Coolest.
Yeah, like what?
Probably
do you like
my
best?
Simulator. Fair. It's got full motion. It's pretty sick.
Brett, is it your pool?
It's definitely not my pool. Jason was at my house last week. Yeah. He came over for the watch
party.
You got
a pool inside your house?
No, I don't have a pool at all.
Oh, wait, it's not inside the house?
No, we're trying to get him to get a pool, but he's refusing. So every week we bring it up to try.
Pools are overpriced in North Carolina. Don't get a pool.
Him and Freddie love to wear Speedos together.
Haley, don't help him. We're trying to get. I need a pool at his house.
Just kidding. Pools are sick. You can do the above ground ones.
We can't do an above ground pool.
Why not?
We got HOAs that won't. I lived in a trailer growing up. We could have an above ground pool there. We can't
have a backyard
pool.
A little bit.
I got a big backyard.
Then they won't see it.
He's got a backyard, an RPG room.
We can't have a freaking above ground pool. They would find me.
I got an uncle.
Jason, what do you think the coolest thing in my house is?
Brett had an aquarium in his living room. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
I got a 220 gallon saltwater tank.
That's pretty cool.
And I'll let Jason think that's cool. Coolest thing in my house. And that's the coolest thing in my house.
The coolest thing in my house is the central air because it blows 60 degrees and I'm dying in here right now. I don't know what the coolest thing in my house is. Probably John's room. That room that John's got out front that he's taken over, my man cave.
Take a picture of that room and tweet it. It looks like he's a hoarder lives in there.
I'm going to say Megan is that the coolest in your house.
Megan's John's the coolest a hoarder? Person. No, he's just, there's just.
Everywhere
stacks and stacks of stuff in that room.
That basically,
yeah, it's just
it's like what a hoarder would do.
Yeah. It's not really his. It's all my stuff, but he kind of took my room over, so that's it.
TJ, what's the coolest feature?
I'd probably just say my office in general because it's got my racing stuff in there. Some memorabilia. You know, Brett's probably got a room that's got some stuff in it from his racing days and. We've collected some cool stuff over the years, so probably just my office area with all my stuff. I don't have a motion rig like Haley and them, but I would love to see Brett sim race. So could you imagine Brett running them moon car races?
Those moon car races.
If hers moves, I want to go to hers because yours didn't move.
Mine doesn't move. No. Mine's not going to move.
We got to move up in the world.
Brett had a simulator. Oh, yeah. Brett had a simulator for like 6 hours one time.
I have one. You could just take it. I'm good. It
I don't
to
think
be
you have control over that, Casey. You're giving away something that's not yours.
I heard a rumor. Did you wreck Dale Jr. the other night?
I will do it again if he wants to play it. I'll swing bigger every time, too.
Okay, Joey. Go get a cash offer on your home today with our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.com. It's time for us to get into our favorite Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments of the week. Whether you're behind the wheel or online, speed isn't the only thing you need. So, what were your favorite More Than Fast moments from Kansas? TJ.
My Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moment is going to be Kurt Busch. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to get around Kyle and or both Kyles, basically, at the end when I seen him come off. He came off third, right? Yeah, he came out third. I was a little worried that he wasn't going to be able to get back up there, but guy got up on the wheel and got it done. So that's my Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moment. It's Kurt Busch.
My Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moment is Zane Smith. I mean, that thing was on a rail.
That wasn't a moment.
Saturday night.
An entire race.
Yeah, that was a long moment. I looked up a couple of times, and just the lap times he was running throughout the run, I was like, oh, I don't know who's going to get anywhere near this guy tonight. Like, I looked up, and I thought our truck was pretty good. We were like a fifth to eighth place truck, and he was probably 3 to 4 tenths better than us every lap. I was like, okay, well, we might get up here a little bit closer, but we ain't getting anywhere near him. So, yeah, my Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moment will go to Zane in that 3018.
My Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moment, I'm going to give to myself for how fast I left the racetrack and got to Austin's Bar and Grill and shared a shot of Fireball with a Door Bumper Clear listener. He was at the bar hanging out. Of course, had to buy him a shot. And there was a tear in my beer. And I just rode out the rest of the race there, and then I jumped on the plane and flew home. So I got the hell out of Dodge.
You should give it to your truck driver at some point because he hasn't hit nearly as much stuff this year as he did last year.
He's doing a good job.
His spotter finally showing up.
Yeah. We've hit a lot of this year, but it really hasn't been our best. It's kind of like Haley. Like, everybody just happens to wreck right in front of us, it seems like.
But last year,
that's what I said to somebody the other day. I said we caused all the wrecks last year. This year, we're just involved in the wrecks.
I mean, it's bad when I told you about the time I was on the airplane, Derek got and everyone was yelling, "Don't hit me, Derek." That was after Knoxville when he did hit everybody.
He hit everybody
in the field.
I wasn't there for that one, just for the record.
He got everybody.
We like it fast here on Door Bumper Clear, but what we really like is being more than fast. Thankfully, there's always tons of action for our Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments.
You know what else is more than fast? Xfinity XFi. With all the speed for your devices, you also get the reliability and security that keeps your crew connected and protected.
On the track, being more than fast means you've got the teamwork and strategy to win.
With Xfinity XFi, you can do more of what you love with a faster internet and a powerful and secure connection.
Follow at Xfinity Racing on Twitter for even more Xfinity XFi more than fast moments. And don't forget to vote for your favorites.
Thank you to Xfinity, proud premier partner of NASCAR.
What an idiot.
Time for Brett's favorite segment, What an Idiot.
Just kick it off, Freddie, because Freddie's got a good one.
Freddie's cringing, waiting to say
this. This is hysterical. I don't know. Did I tell you? I told you this. So I went to a bar right across the street from the track called Danny's Pub or Danny's Bar and Grill on Saturday night.
And I had talked to Tyler Reddick a little bit about maybe going to the casino or something like that, but just really wasn't planning on doing anything. So I went to Danny's with a couple of the team guys or whatever, and I was sitting there, and I noticed a guy come over, and he said something about Dirty Mo. So I was like, oh, he's going to say something about podcast, obviously. So right, I see him walking over, and same time, Tyler texts me. He's like, hey, you still at Danny's? I'm at the ATM machine or something right across the street. I'm going to stop in. So he comes in, hangs out, and he's standing there. So the guy walks over to me, and he's like, hey, Freddie, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you. Do you think I could get it? And at mid-sentence, he looks over and sees Tyler. And he's like, holy cow. And he gets real excited about seeing Tyler. So he's like, I came over to take a picture with Freddie, but forget that. I want to take a picture with you. And I was like, well, I don't really blame you. It's Tyler Reddick. So they take a picture, yada, yada, yada. They talk for a minute. They stop talking. So as soon as they stop talking, I asked Tyler about where he ran on the racetrack in qualifying. Just couch racing, as always, you know, like just whatever we can talk about racing. So I'm talking to Tyler about where he ran on the racetrack, top, bottom, middle, whatever it was. And I could see the fan is very confused at this point. And I'm like, what is he's very there's he doesn't know what's going on. And he looks at Tyler and he's like, you drive? And Tyler's like, yeah. He's like, you're not Jason Schultz? And I was like, what?
You're more famous than Tyler Reddick, Jason. Congratulations.
I'm offended. I'm not that short.
I know.
Tyler's like 5 foot one.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we were dying laughing. Tyler's buddy Ernie was with us. I met him at the Chili Bowl this year. He actually sat right behind me at the Chili Bowl. And we had a really funny, we had a good laugh for quite a long time. So I apologize. I told the guy you're going to make the show this week, but you're going to unfortunately be the What an Idiot section.
Sorry, Tyler.
You topping that?
Brett?
I got to give it to my guy, Daniel Dye, again.
Oh,
Jesus. Not only was he arrested a few weeks ago, but this week he got reinstated, and he got to come back to race in the ARCA Series race. And he released a statement about his reinstatement. Did you see this, Haley?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, in his statement, him and his PR person, and God bless whoever that is.
I know who it is.
They decided to put into this statement that Daniel Dye, in quotes, I've been going around punching people in the groin since ninth grade.
What?
Okay, he's now a 12th grader. So he's admitting to going around and, quote, in his words, playing a game where we all punch each other in the balls. Okay, so you're an idiot for releasing this statement. You're all f***ing nuts, okay?
We're canceled. We're done.
That's about to be cut.
I mean, you didn't say it. He said it. Like, I mean, sometimes you dig yourself in a hole, and I guess
I just
wouldn't
even dug
yourself deeper.
They literally had time to write this and to read this and think about releasing it to the public, and they still did it.
Yeah, okay, so his PR guy is only probably 2 years older than him. So
that makes sense.
Epic fail.
They're
both idiots.
Probably playing the same game.
I don't know what their objective was.
They failed miserably.
Yeah.
Okay. So
did you watch the ARCA race?
I did.
Were you listening to the commentators at all?
And not at all.
So he had a couple penalties. Like, he got held on pit road. And I cannot believe there were some jokes going around. Whenever they handed him, like, we got to pull him in and hold him for a lap. And where were the jokes? Like, well, that's a real punt. You know what I mean? Like,
only you would think about that.
I mean,
I don't know. According to that statement, there, it's been going on for a long time.
So practicing punching people in the balls for 4 years. Oh, congratulations, Daniel.
TJ, do you have one?
I was watching Raja run. Freddie kind of touched on this earlier, but Raja was running a really good race. And he's ran really good races this year. Super patient and aggressive when he needed to be on the track. I think the first that showed up was he ran good at Daytona, and it really showed up at Phoenix. He ran really well at Phoenix, but now the races that he's putting together are championship caliber. You know, if he keeps being this consistent, he can run for a championship. Daniel Dye would still be leading the points probably if he didn't get into an altercation.
He was playing his favorite game.
But I when leaders are coming, you got lap cars cannot be side by side like that when the leaders are coming, especially when there's, less than 20 cars out there. There's plenty of opportunity to make passes. That track's really wide. Do you have to be that side by side taking up that much room? And Raja did the right thing by lifting, but you got to have more awareness. And I know I'm asking a lot for that area, but I hated to see Raja get passed because of that.
So Zachary Tinkle is the driver you're referencing who slid up in front of the other driver you're referencing. And he said it's 100% his fault. He was lapping the 12 and someone took air off of his spoiler.
So it's not, that's confusing because
there's nobody near here.
Somebody else. Well, that's the first confusing part. But the second confusing part, is it 100% your fault or did somebody take air off your spoiler? Like, which way is it? Because first of all, nobody was near him to take air off his spoiler.
He also said in his tweet that I talked to Raja after the race and he said I did not cost him the win.
That's because Raja's a nice guy.
Yeah, Raja's one of them. He's like a Tyler Reddick. You know, the guy just got used up and then he's still going to find a way to blame himself. So, which is good, but I mean, it's obvious.
The ARCA series owes us money. We've talked about ARCA more on here than we've talked about anything
else. I got a good moment, actually. I just got noticed. This one goes out to the tow truck when I first got to the track. Junked it in, I think, practice or qualifying, whatever it was going on. I was walking down to my truck, walking past the haulers, just walking past, I believe it was a 45 hauler. And this tow truck comes hauling ass towards me. All of a sudden, I hear and I'm like, oh God, our car falls off while he's hauling ass. Like he is going fast. Like he was cooking like enough for me to like step to the side. I pass it for about 5 feet. This our car falls off, takes a left hook right into the 45's hauler. The whole thing starts rocking, dents in the whole side of the hauler. Yeah, that is my moment. That's
the
most ARCA thing I've ever seen.
The irony of that is like Chris Wright, who drives a 45 truck, has driven into everything all on the track this year. So now someone's driving into his hauler. It makes it even better.
How did he get out of the race truck and get into the tow truck?
That's a good question. This was all over Twitter, and it was pretty funny. I hate it for the guy who owns the truck, the hauler. But to watch a freaking vehicle crash into a hauler. Oh.
Was there a video of it?
I didn't see a video. No,
I just saw the freaking
pictures. It probably will not be released if anybody in the garage.
I wish I could see a video because I just was like a couple feet past it because I heard it and I started walking quicker. And that's when it fell right next. It fell right next to me. And then by the time I kept walking, it went behind me.
You know what would have made it better? The only thing that would have topped this, if it would have been Josh Reume's holler.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. No. That wouldn't be better.
That poor guy's been through enough this year.
They took the top off at Atlanta. Oh. Now that he gets the side at Kansas.
No. Not a good idea. Hey, what's up, DBC fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let us explain.
Well, first of all, Freddie, the best part is it's free. There's nothing better than using a free awesome service.
To make the process simple and easy, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor helps people find your show by distributing the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms.
Also, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
I like money.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
We love using Anchor. It's a great platform that lets us hear from the fans in Reaction Theater with Anchor's Leave a Message feature.
So when you create your account with Anchor, you can also utilize their feature and make your own podcast. TJ will be your first guest. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's ANCHOR.FM to get started.
All right, let's move on to DBC picks, which I'm really depressed about.
I have a proposal for you, Casey.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay, Casey. Wait, for the record, I only picked Justin Haley because Tommy told me to pick a Chevy.
He picked a Chevy. He meant a good one.
You said somebody else said I would have picked Justin.
I had somebody
else last week.
So Haley, we have this competition, and I have four wins, and Casey is last with one. So I have a proposal for you, Casey. You've picked a lot of really big names. You're going to run out, okay? And I'm going to leave this solely up to you. This week and this week only, you can pick whoever you want, even if you've already picked them before.
That's
to
try to give you an opportunity. Do we count the All-Stars?
No, All-Stars. We don't count the All-Stars. We pick anybody.
All right. So that's what we're going to do to help you.
Yeah. We're all going to be able to pick
anybody.
We're
all going to do this anyway.
So
Freddie won at Kansas with Larson. Brett leads four wins. Freddie and I have three wins. TJ two. Casey one. Anybody's up for the All-Star race?
Anybody?
Yeah, anybody. It doesn't count.
Well, right. I think we'll count it.
Oh, we'll count it. Everybody, you can pick anybody.
Casey, I propose this because you get to pick first.
So you got full pick.
You get anybody that you want.
I just hope she does what I think she's going to do.
What?
Nothing. No, yeah, pick first.
She's not going to tell you.
Haley, who would you pick?
Please help anybody. Her. Please come to her rescue.
I have somebody in mind.
Well, let's go. Let's make the decision here.
Larson.
Good idea.
Surprise.
Great pick.
Yeah. Who's next?
I was going to say that too. I mean,
TJ, you're next.
Man, I'm going to go with the only guy that I've seen roll up there and pass Kyle Larson. I'm going to roll with Kurt Busch.
Solid. Kyle Busch.
That was my next pick.
You son of a...
Denny Hamlin.
Ready?
William Byron.
When there's money on the line, Denny Hamlin will step up to the plate. And there's a lot of money on
the line.
Denny delivers. There you go. DBC picks.
All right. Well... heading to the All-Star race, I think we've talked plenty about it, but anything else we want to share with the fans before they watch?
You tell us.
I mean, good luck, first of all. If you know anything, send us DMs and texts about what's going on in the race so that we know where we're going to line up and what stage.
You should have Bob on the radio for the All-Star race.
I need a direct line to Bob.
If
so
you guys
can
create like an infographic or a video to share with these spotters, they're probably going to need it this weekend.
I feel like when this rule package came out, Bob's hair probably got curlier when he was reading this. Like I could just imagine him being in a panic because he has to know everything that's going on and be the expert. I love when he listens to our podcast every week, Haley, he'll text me and Freddie and be like, hey, you guys, you screwed this up. You're wrong. You have the wrong interpretation of this rule, and you're wrong about this.
I don't know how he knows so much.
But I could see his hair just getting curlier.
I don't know.
Yeah, he never sleeps, and he never cleans his glasses.
TJ, we didn't talk about this. And
what?
Like, you almost lapped the whole field yesterday.
I know. It was awesome.
So you were drunk at a bar already. So we start the pit cycle. Harvick spins out. Yellow comes down the middle of the pit cycle. Yep. TJ's probably like 7th, 8th in line as we're rolling around in a yellow. So they say, hey, the two beat the leader to the start-finish line. He gets to wave around the leader, which is legit. You know, that's how they score it. So he waves around to the back. Now he's towards the tail.
Wait, which? You talking about me?
Yeah. Six.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Sorry, I really apologize.
The two actually got waved around.
The two did also, yeah. So they wave TJ around to the back, or Brad. So now he's in last in line, or like towards the back of the line. And we're rolling around there.
It took forever to get
to
that point.
It's taking forever.
My stall is on the turn four side of start finish line. Kosher comes out. I immediately look down when we cross line. I see it's right with the 18. So I know I'm going to be around the 18 when I get off pit road. Well, it takes like five laps for them to figure out that I'm supposed to even get weighed around a bunch of cars and be back in line. So go ahead.
So now he's back in line where he belongs. So,
well, now I wasn't in line yet, but I wasn't a lap down.
They're trying to figure it out. So he's waved around the leader. He's back on the lead lap. He's going to be probably like third or fourth on the restart. I think it was. And so we're sitting there and go, okay, six, you belong up here behind like the one.
It was behind the eight.
Yeah. Like third in line. So now he's driving by the field again. And I'm looking at, cause now it's going to trap me.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to trap me a lap down because now it's going to be in front of me and I can't wave. And I'm like,
and
I've
already pitted too.
I'm like, what is going on? We're all freaking out on the roof. And I'm like, finally, like as he's like three quarters of the way back up there, they're like, wait a minute. Cause they call it out. They go, it's been confirmed. The six belongs
behind the 19,
behind the eight. And then he's like, actually, it's been confirmed. The six belongs behind the 19.
Which was actually was Actually, I think they put us in front of the 19. It was right behind the 18. Was right behind him. Yeah. That's where we were supposed to be.
I don't envy them guys in those moments because there's a lot of rules you got to interpret. But my favorite part about the whole thing was we spent probably 10, 12 laps.
It was a long time. Around,
and they just parked these random four cleanup trucks off of turn four that were doing nothing except for like, all right, we're gonna park these trucks out here while we try to figure out who the hell's where on this racetrack.
I'm with Freddie though. When there's a caution in the middle of a pit cycle, it is complete chaos. And you some know. Guys like, make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, like, of course. Yeah.
Those guys do nothing but prolong it. They don't realize it. You know what I'm talking about. When you're in the middle of that, some guy thinks he's supposed to be somewhere. He just goes there before they have a chance to do it. And it makes it a lot harder. But yeah, this is going to be good.
I mean, they literally gained him two laps and put him like the third car in line up front. I was like, oh God, this is not right. All There's be no way lap. This is right.
I'm smiling. I'm like,
the other thing that like, and it's, I got to bring this up with Jusson. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but I don't know if you've had many penalties yet. I unfortunately have had a few.
I might have had the biggest penalty.
So
you're talking about
the racetrack. Well, this is something about you because you did this wrong yesterday. And I don't, you know, not that you did it wrong because you got away with it, but we get a penalty now. You're tail end of the longest line. So there's four or five guys that get a penalty, say. And I watched Danny got a penalty for something, so he's falling to the back. You're back there with him. Normally, they haven't done it the last 2 weeks. Normally, they tell us what line is the longest. Even if it's not the longest line, they'll pick one and go, okay, all penalty cars line up on the top or all penalty cars bottom, whatever. Yesterday, numerous times, it was the 31 that did it one time. I think Chase Elliott did it one time. I watched them line up back there, and then just say there's four guys, they're all on a line. Well, two of them just pulled to the top and line up double file, and nobody says anything. So we got to do a better job of paying attention to the back there, because what if we go in the corner and, you know, these guys line up top and the guys on the bottom and the bottom lane wrecks? You know, you've just given these two guys that had the same penalty as me an advantage over me because they're now able to restart a different line. So we've got to do a better job of policing that in the back. Yeah, they're gaining positions. They're supposed to be two rows behind me and have to stay in line to the start finish line now instead of being one row in front of me, you know. So it's just it's just something they got to police a little
one
bit better.
One thing I thought that was missed was when the caution came out for the 19, Kurt actually passed him and slowed down on the backstretch, and the 19 drove back around me inside. Was he supposed to stay behind him at that point?
Well, I mean, it's up to their discretion, I think. If Kurt, you know, kind of, it's a double-edged sword. Obviously, if that's you,
I don't think it changed it because he still got lap right when
he got
to
Kurt's letting him go. Kurt's obviously doing that on purpose because it's a Toyota. And if you, we talk about that all the time on here. If you see a guy with a problem, like that's not a teammate or manufacturer related, you're trying to haul ass to get around him and trap him a lap down. So that's something obviously that can be played. You know, games can be played there as well.
Well, I also want to give a shout out to everyone who watched us on MAV TV last week.
Yeah.
Yes. What was it like seeing your big heads on on TV?
What do you mean big head?
Okay.
That's not right.
I wanted to put like a disclaimer, like objects on TV are larger than they appear.
I want to do the same thing.
I mean, not going to lie.
I don't think Freddie will wear flip-flops again on the show.
Flip-flops?
If he does, yeah, you have flip-flops on last week.
I didn't know.
If he does, I think you'll get a big pedicure deal.
He's working on thing. It. He might need it.
Flip-flops were the least of my concerns last week. This week, I'm going to have sweat stains all up and down my left side here. So, Tommy, speaking of Tommy Baldwin was great on here last week. Fun to have him on here, and he did a good job, obviously. Yeah. We got a lot of positive good reviews stories about that. But he went up to Riverhead, like we talked about on here, and unfortunately, Jimmy Blewett couldn't drive.
This guy won.
Yeah, Doug Kobe got in the car. Jimmy Blewett's daughter got real sick leading up to the race, so Jimmy had to bow out for the weekend. She's doing much better now. But Doug Kobe filled in, and that was the first time in 29 years that the Baldwin car has won at Riverhead, which is our home track.
That's awesome.
So it was an awesome deal there.
Or I maybe saw a car 29. Leave the park there. Did I see a car get over the wall there? And
at Riverhead?
Yeah.
There's been times where, like in a Charger car, street stock looking car.
It was one of them looking cars.
Yeah. There's been videos. Our buddy Bob Dillner here, he used to do a TV show, Long Island Trackside, back in the day. And I remember like the opening segment used to be a guy named Bobby Seda, who works in the sport. Used to be at Roush Fenway for a long time. He jumped a wheel down the back straightaway and was over the fence on the back straightaway. We had a guy go over the pit wall one time. So there's been some excitement over at Old Riverhead. That's where we grew up, and it was just awesome to see. I knew that race meant a lot to Tommy for numerous reasons. He really wanted to win for Jimmy. Obviously, really wanted to win at Riverhead, put the 7NY back in Victory Lane, because we coined a phrase back in the day. Somebody coined it. It was long before I came around, but it was the Long Island Gang, and you kind of see a lot of Long Islanders have moved down here. Brett's got all kind of jokes about U-Hauls only driving south. But, you know, like you always kind of gravitate to each other. You know, all the Long Island guys kind of stick together. So it was really good to see them guys go back up there and win. And his dad, Tom Baldwin, Senior Tiger Tom, was the leader of the Long Island gang, you could say.
So down here it was Tiger Tom Pistone, or what? Now up there it was
Tiger Tom Baldwin. So there's only one Tiger.
What Tommy probably didn't realize either is normally when you come on the show, it's pretty decent luck. So
it is good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are we at this week?
Thank God.
Texas.
Yeah.
I'll take anything I can get at this point. Yeah.
A lot of drivers come on and win. So thank you for coming on. You did an amazing job. I'm so happy for you. Best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Casey misses a lot of shows. Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? I missed one because I was dying.
So the next time she misses a show, we would love to have you come back and be our host.
Yeah, just call me up.
Matt TV, DBC.
Yes. This week's show airs Thursday at 7 p.m. on Mad TV. And then you can watch the full version on Mad TV Plus. I personally am a paid subscriber because I watch all the midget racing. So you definitely want to buy it if you don't have it already. And you can catch the entire show. I don't really know why you'd want to see these guys for like 90 minutes.
I think the extended version has the dancing clip of Casey as well.
It will not have the dancing clip of me because it will be cut out from whatever social media platform.
Screenshots live forever.
I was purposely in the back and now I'm regretting that being in it at all. But anyways, don't forget to watch us. Tell us what you think. Thank you, as always, to OfferPad, and thank you to Haley for joining us. I'm glad I was not the only girl this week, and you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for putting up with us.
And putting up with TJ.
It's okay. I do every
honestly,
weekend.
Honestly, he should be paying you.
I'm the mild one here.
Okay.
We've had Tommy Baldwin, Kaylee D going to start off our MAV TV deal. You want to tease who's coming next week?
Next week, we got Jeff Burton coming on. Jeff reached out a few weeks ago.
So much for a tease. We're going straight to it. It's Jeff Burton.
Jeff reached out a few weeks ago, and he's like, hey, I want to come on your podcast. And I was
straight
like,
for the throw.
Okay. So here we come. He'll have a lot of insight, a lot of opinions, and he usually disagrees with everything I say, so it should be great.
Yep. And if you will be in town for the Charlotte races next week, be sure to come out to Millbridge. I think we'll all be there. Haley, are you racing?
Yeah, if my chassis gets fixed.
Thanks, John Hunter.
What night are you racing out there? Tuesday?
Say it again?
What night will you be racing?
Wednesday. It gets fixed.
Okay.
We're waiting.
John Hunter wrecked your car?
Well, I got caught up in a little pile up and then I got smoked by John Hunter and
I think that was
John Hunter ran into a wreck. I'm about to bring that up when he comes on here. Didn't he give me a bunch of shit about that a couple of years ago?
He needs some glasses.
Yeah, we'll have to bring him some glasses.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great week.
We out. Holla.
See ya.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo.